for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, cooler, chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, occasional showers and thunderstorms possible throughout the day. The storms this afternoon could be severe with a high in the mid-60s. This evening, breezy, colder, rain showers are likely, then scattered rain showers after midnight with a low in the lower 30s. Then for Veterans Day tomorrow, much colder, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries in the morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon with a high in the mid-40s, and Saturday evening mostly clear, low in the lower 30s, and on Sunday not quite as cool, partly sunny. They're expecting a high in the 50s. Currently we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 degrees under cloudy skies. Stay tuned now. Liz Brown is off today, so we are bringing you the best of the wake-up call. So sit back and enjoy the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The following is a best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers talking the same.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
The following program is the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
The common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war
itself.
Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
can this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm also reachable on the World Wide Web at Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. That's Liz Brown at sbcglobal.net. We have much to talk about as we percolate towards, as we move towards the election night. Many folks are talking about, are coming out and saying what their reasons are for backing one individual over another, Bush over Kerry, Kerry over Bush. And what's fascinating in this election cycle is to see Americans who are notoriously illiterate about the what happens in the world outside of our borders, to see Americans beginning the process, some Americans beginning the process of connecting our quality of life with our relationships abroad. And you can see no more stark contrast between the philosophy of we don't need the world and we gotta have the world, as you see between the two candidates. There is almost there is disdain articulated from the current folks in the White House. A disdain for relationships with other people. It is as if a diplomacy is a dirty word. And when an administration articulates such a position, diplomacy is dirty. It's weak. It's not necessary. It's for chumps or for cowards. When an administration articulates these words, then you have other citizens out there in an election year mouthing those same sentiments. So we need to have a discussion about diplomacy. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me this morning Professor Melvin Goodman, Senior Fellow at the Center for International Policy, Adjunct Professor at Johns Hopkins University, former CIA analyst and author, co-author of Bush League Diplomacy, joining us from Bethesda, Maryland. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, Liz. How are you? Good to be with you this morning.
I'm outstanding. Bush League diplomacy, how the neoconservatives are putting the world at risk. Is that accurate? Is it accurate to say that we have a current administration that dismisses the need for diplomacy?
Oh, there's no question of that whatsoever. I think what is most troubling about this administration is that in several short years, it has overturned a half century of American foreign policy as practiced by Democrats and Republicans, whether the presidents were Eisenhower or Kennedy or Nixon or Johnson. And that bipartisan foreign policy depended on collective security, depended on international organizations, arms control and disarmament, deterrence and containment, and that military power was traditionally the last resort. What this administration has done is ignore the bureaucracy, ignore bureaucratic politics, ignore the international community, be incredibly arrogant toward our very traditional allies in Europe, which were dismissed by Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld as old Europe, and then send Secretary of State Colin Powell to the United Nations to make 29 false charges that led us into war. He spoke in February 2003. We went to war in March 2003. And then in the fall, we got a report from a CIA official that showed we were all wrong about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, making the 29 allegations of Colin Powell's incorrect. Frankly, I thought they were lies. But given the benefit of the doubt, when you make 29 allegations to an international community to go to war and they're all wrong, and when you make allegations to the Congress of the United States, the House and the Senate for a war resolution to authorize the use of force, and all of those allegations are false, again, I thought they were lies, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They were merely wrong. The fact of the matter is you have an international crisis at the United Nations and you have a constitutional crisis at the Congress. So if the American people need more than that to make up their minds about this election, then frankly, I don't think people are paying any attention at all.
Well, why? And to see the polls, to see people, to hear people talk, people don't get that. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that there is such a disconnect between what we have, our reputation in the world, and our reputation here in the United States?
Well, I think it says something about America that I find very embarrassing, and that is we have become so frightened and so paranoid and so fearful as a result of 9/11 that we have not shown any strength of character, that you can have an administration such as this one that has done nothing but fearmonger. You have a bunch of chicken hawks, people who went out of their way to avoid combat when this nation was at war, including the president, including the vice president, including the Secretary of Defense's number one deputy, his number two deputy, all those people who had other options or other priorities when it came time for this nation to fight wars, who then, in almost a constitutional coup that was conducted against the Congress, took this nation to war, and now over 1,000 Americans have died in a war that was based on lies. Iraq was not linked to terrorists. Iraq was not linked to Osama bin Laden. Iraq was not linked to 9/11. Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction. I can't think of a more frightful situation in American history than what we have been through in the past year. And frankly, if we reelect this man, it no longer says something about President Bush. It then says something about the American people and who we are as Americans. I spent most of the summer in Europe, and you're hearing things from Europeans that were never said before. They've often had problems with U.S. diplomacy and U.S. actions. They certainly did during Vietnam. Now they have problems with the American people, and they're starting to wonder, as they did before World War II, when they very facetiously talked about the good Germans. Now they're talking about the good Americans who go along with anything this president wants to do. So you have a media that's virtually shut down. I'm talking about the print media because there's a lot of good stuff on talk radio. But the print media is shut down, and the Congress has shut down, particularly the so-called Democratic opposition. That's why I think we have reason to be frightened, not because of 9/11.
Now, one of the things that's being talked about and part of that fear observation that you're making is this: we have a presidency or an administration that will do anything and everything to win this election. And the thing that's kind of percolating out there in people's minds and eyes, there's this October surprise thing that's supposed to happen. talk to us about that. Should we be concerned about an October surprise, given what this administration has done to get us into war?
I'm concerned about this administration. I'm convinced they'll do anything to win this election. And I think what gave it away was when last summer the White House outed a clandestine member of the Central Intelligence Agency, a woman working undercover, deep cover, who was working on the most important national security situation, that is, the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Her name, as we all know, is now Valerie Plame. Her husband was the former Ambassador Joe Wilson, who exposed the lie about enriched uranium that Iraq was supposedly trying to obtain. And Vice President Cheney's office leaked that name to six correspondents, but only one correspondent printed the name, and that was Robert Novak in a syndicated column. For one thing, this was a violation of federal law. You can serve up to 12 years in jail for exposing a clandestine member of the United States Central Intelligence Agency's Directorate of Operations.
You don't hear that conversation.
You don't hear that at all. Mm-hmm. And frankly, if you had a real president with real character in the White House, he would call in his chief of staff, Andrew Card, and say, very simply, look, I want those two people, and we know there were two people in the White House who did this, I want them out of my White House. They can no longer work for my administration. And then let the cards fall where they may. The president didn't even care about this. And what I find really interesting, the one who really laughed it off, was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, a congressman from Florida by the name of Porter Goss, who is now the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So if people are becoming cynical, which I think is very dangerous in any society, there's a good reason for cynicism to be taking over in this country. So this is an administration that essentially has no regard for law, no regard for domestic law, no regard for international law. They can throw people in jail in Guantanamo, call them detainees, not give them the right to have a hearing, not give them the right to counsel. We now know, after 3 years of these people being in jail and obviously being tortured, that they have no real information on terrorism. They were just arrested in roundups that took place in moments of great chaos in Afghanistan. And I haven't said a word yet about Abu Ghraib, which had nothing to do with six non-commissioned officers and enlisted people from Appalachia, but a lot to do with memos that were written in the White House by the lawyer of the president, Alberto Gonzalez, and the chief lawyer for Attorney General John Ashcroft, Jay Bybee, who has now been rewarded by giving a federal judgeship on the Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit, that's in California. So again, the lack of appreciation of law, the contempt for international norms is what is most appalling about this administration.
So is there going to be an October surprise?
The reason why I don't think there is going to be an October surprise is the basic weakness of the U.S. military position right now. Now, if the
not because they don't want to, but because they can't do it.
Again, they would love to do something to put this election in the bag. This is a very paranoid, very militant group of people. I think they would do virtually anything to assure re-election, but I don't think they have the power to do that right now. As I said, if they were successful in Iraq, they would have had excessive military force in the Middle East, and I think you would have seen the use of military power against Syria. Some people say Iran. I don't think it would have been Iran. I think it would have been a country defenseless, such as Syria. But we're so embedded in Iraq, it is such a quagmire. It's not that we're losing. We've already lost. Now we're just holding on to protect lives of American troops. What we should be thinking about is getting out, but that's not the October surprise we're going to see. The surprise I think we're going to see is going to be early next year. If there is an election in Iraq, I think there's a very good chance that the Shiites right now, who are the three major Shiite officials in Iraq, Muqtada al-Sadr, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, and Ahmed Shalabi, will come together in some kind of political compromise or arrangement in which they will demand the drawdown of American forces, that they will take decisions of sovereignty into their own hands, and I think we will be caught off guard by that. But that won't be an October surprise by the administration.
And it won't be an October surprise from the perspective of getting somebody elected.
No, it'll be after.
It will be a true surprise.
It'll be a true surprise.
It will definitely be a true surprise. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Professor Melvin Goodman, Senior Fellow, Center for International Policy, Adjunct Professor at Johns Hopkins University, and former CIA analyst. He is the co-author of Bush League Diplomacy, joining us from from Bethesda, Maryland. And Professor Goodman, I'd like to talk to you about neoconservatives when we come back.
Be glad to do that, Liz.
All right, listen, folks, we're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around for more of that following the traffic and the weather and this commercial break. Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. In both directions, 170 Del Mar and Page, you can expect road construction reducing it to two lanes, so expect some backups on 170, both north and southbound. Eastbound 70 at K through 79, you've got heavy traffic already. Eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270, look for no problems to report. Northbound 270 at Teston Ferry and Big Bend, look for heavy volume in pockets. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and 270, look for congestion in pockets there. And westbound 270 at 367 New Florissant, it is on the move. Westbound 5570 is slow from the Illinois Bank into downtown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is looking good at this hour. Westbound Eadsbridge traffic moving well in northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. There are no delays at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals like Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, cooler chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Storms this afternoon may be severe, with a high around the mid-60s. For this evening, look forward to breezy, colder, rain showers in the evening and scattered rain showers after midnight with a low in the lower 30s. Then on Veterans Day tomorrow, Saturday, much colder, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries in the morning and then partly sunny throughout the late afternoon, morning and afternoon hours with a high only in the mid-40s. And Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. Sunday, not quite as cool, partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 60 and both under clouds with some fog. Stay tuned for more of the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown is not here. She will be back on Monday at 6 a.m. in the studio. But stay tuned for more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here as we after we take this break. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It's the Hour to Empower, presenting information to the nation, hosted by Minister Ernest Greenlee, Reverend James Willoughby, Mr. Rabbani, Miss Daisy, and Doc Brown, bringing solutions to the needs of the people, the church, the pastors, the seniors, the youth, and the community. How to manage your credit and debt, job loss protection that pays bills up to $2,000 a month, and lots more great financial information. That's the Hour to Empower, bringing value to your life, every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is off today. She will be back in the studio beginning at 6 a.m. on Monday, but stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
If we poison our children with hatred, in the hard life is all that they'll know.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking to Professor Melvin Goodman, Senior Fellow, Center for International Policy, Adjunct Professor, John Hopkins University, and former CIA analyst, and the co-author of Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neoconservatives Are Putting the World at Risk. Professor Goodman, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Talk to us. Who are these neoconservatives?
Well,
and why should we fear them?
Well, we better care. They're very dangerous. They've been around for a long time. They've been working together for a long time. They're primarily the Vice President Cheney, the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, the number two leading deputies at the Department of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith, and then the chief advisor to Cheney, a man by the name of Lou Libby. They've been together since the late 80s, early 90s. They were with George Bush's father, George Herbert Walker Bush. They were appalled when the president then, Herbert Walker Bush, and his national security advisor, General Scowcroft, with the concurrence of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Colin Powell, who is now Secretary of State, stopped the war against Iraq. Now, they stopped it for a very good reason. The war, essentially, in terms of American goals, had been won. We evicted the Iraqi army from Kuwait. We sent it in a total rout back to Iraq and into Baghdad. That was not the goal, to go into Iraq or to capture Saddam Hussein or to capture Baghdad. And in a memoir, then President Bush and his advisor, General Scowcroft, gave very good reasons why you shouldn't go into Baghdad. We're seeing those reasons played out now in terms of the bloodshed, the chaos, the quagmire that we're in Iraq. So they were totally right. But people like Cheney and Rumsfeld and Feith and Wolfowitz and Libby were appalled with the decision. And I think they came into power in 2001, long before 9/11, to go back into Iran, to go back into Iraq. What 9/11 did for these people was to give them a pretext, to give them the basis of the big lie. Of course, the big lie was that Iraq had something to do with 9/11. Never mind that 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis and the others were Egyptians and Kuwaitis. That this administration made an intentional big lie linking Iraq to terrorism, sending the military back into Iraq, where we are now stuck, and we are going to be stuck there for a very long time, I'm afraid.
Now, in terms of the impact of these neoconservatives on domestic policy, where do you see the influence of the neoconservatives on that side?
Well, I think their influence there has not been properly understood by the media, again, the print media or the American people. The goal of George Bush, in addition to using military power successfully in Iraq, which he hasn't done, is to limit government spending. Basically, I think President Bush is a libertarian. He is someone who doesn't believe in government at all and is looking for ways to cut government functions. And that's essentially what's being done. The military budget is growing at such a rate. Right now, it's at $417 billion. If Bush is reelected, it'll be over $500 billion before the end of his second term. That is squeezing out money for all other programs. The military is the only program, along with intelligence, that is really growing. Everything else is being cut back. So states that are being strained now, and your own state of Missouri is feeling this as much as any state in the country. If you look at education, if you look at social services, if you look at health, if you look at welfare, if you look at all of the things that government should provide for its people, which is a true measure of the effectiveness of a government and the so-called compassion of a government. And remember, this is a president who calls himself a compassionate conservative, which I think is an oxymoron that I wish Senator Kerry would exploit more in his own appearances. You'll see that there's no compassion in this group, and this is not really traditionally a conservative group at all. This is a group that has no regard for law, no regard for international law, whether it's the Geneva Convention, or if you look at the way they've administered the Patriot Act, no regard for domestic law. So this is a very dangerous group of people.
Well, then I have two questions for you. I want to hold off on the Patriot Act, but I want to get to the CIA component of it. You're telling us, Professor, that there's more money being put into the CIA and more money being put into the military and everything else is being squeezed. Why is it then that at no time in our history have I ever seen such a disconnect and a distrust and an absolute dislike of the CIA with the current administration? He's giving them money. Why don't they get along?
Well, I think the tension between the White House and the CIA is very simple. The CIA clearly lied to help the president. There's no question of that. If you look at the National Intelligence Estimate of October 2002, it was a huge lie. But the lies were insufficient for this administration. They wanted more lies, bigger lies, grosser lies, more absolute lies.
Oh, wow.
And when George Tenet assured the president, I can give you anything you want, that was the famous remark, oh, don't worry, Mr. President, that's a slam dunk. Well, the CIA didn't quite do enough for this president. And the person who really detested the CIA and then Director of Central Intelligence, George Tenet, was Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, who was so upset with the CIA that he created his own intelligence organization inside the Pentagon called the Office of Special Plans that conducted its own collection of intelligence, its own analysis of intelligence, even its own operations with regard to intelligence.
Is that legal?
No, it's totally illegal. And when it looked like the Congress was going to investigate this office, Rumsfeld very quickly disbanded the office. Now, the people didn't go anywhere. They continued to work at the Pentagon. He just disbanded the Office of Special Plans. Now, you think if you had a real intelligence committee working in the Senate or in the House, they would have subpoenaed all these people, as I requested about a year ago. But this was never done. So you get total abuse of authority. You now have a position at the Pentagon that has never existed before called the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, which is trying to take over the entire management of the intelligence community from the Central Intelligence Agency. This is what intelligence reform and the debate for intelligence reform should be about. It shouldn't be about an intelligence czar. It should be about making sure that we demilitarize the intelligence community, which is the way President Harry Truman, a good politician from your neck of the woods, wanted it done in 1947.
Now, given this discord and given all of the efforts to squeeze out the CIA, what is the CIA doing in response to this? I mean, I've seen some leaks. Are they giving up more information to the press now in response to this?
I think you're starting to see a couple leaks of sensitive pieces of information to show the American people, like, look, we're doing the best job we can do. You're seeing leaks against Porter Goss, the new director.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Porter Goss has very quietly brought in his own palace guard, even though he said he wouldn't be a partisan director of the CIA. He brought in his key four staff members from his congressional office on the Hill and from his intelligence.
That's as partisan as it gets, isn't it?
That's partisan. That's totally partisan. What he's doing now is politicizing the Central Intelligence Agency.
And we have to take a break, but I want to talk about how dangerous is it to politicize the CIA. And
very
important
question.
And I also want to talk about the Patriot Act, too. We have to take a break right now. Professor Melvin Goodman, Senior Fellow, Center for International Policy, Adjunct Professor, John Hopkins University, and former CIA analyst. He is the author of Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neoconservatives Are Putting the World at Risk. This is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. Please stay with us. We have much, much more.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll be back with more of the best of Liz following this commercial break.
Radio Mix. Nuevo concepto en radio. La música que te gusta. El torneo que te encanta. Por la nueva de San Luis. Con todos los éxitos del momento. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8 de la noche. Radio Mix. Por el 920 AM. Escucha a través de la red electrónica. En internet. WGNU.net. Todos los domingos. De 6 a 8.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Sergeant Gary Wigert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wigert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
Around the world, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is off today. She will be back on Monday at 6 a.m. bright and early right here on AM 920 WGNU. Until then, sit back, relax, and enjoy this best of the Wake Up Call. We'll have more of your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. But right now, it's more of the best of the Wake Up Call on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I am here with Professor Melvin Goodman, Senior Fellow, Center for International Policy, Adjunct Professor, John Hopkins University, former CIA analyst, and co-author of Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neoconservatives Are Putting the World at Risk. Professor Goodman, on the way out, I asked a question about how problematic is it politicizing the CIA?
Well, that is the worst thing that the intelligence community can be guilty of. Once it starts to spin the intelligence to tailor it for a policy, and no matter what kind of policy, it's no longer functioning as an independent, objective, balanced organization. And again, that's why President Truman created the CIA after World War II, given the intelligence failure that led to Pearl Harbor and the U.S. Weakness going into World War II. So we need a CIA, but we need an independent CIA. The CIA we have now is essentially a corrupt institution. It's been doing the bidding of this president. It did the bidding of President Reagan during the 1980s when the CIA exaggerated the Soviet threat and increased defense spending, creating all of the debts of the late 80s and early 90s that President Clinton had to correct. And that's why I resigned from the CIA in 1990 and went to the Congress and testified to the Senate Intelligence Committee. So it was nearly 15 years ago that I warned the Congress about politicization of intelligence and called for a blue ribbon investigation of the CIA and the need for reform. Well, here we are 14, 15 years later, and we're still arguing the need for reform, but we're still going about it in the worst possible way.
Is it worse than it was 15 years ago?
I think it's worse because there's more centralized control of the CIA. The CIA is less capable of doing independent analysis. They have fewer analysts who can do strategic analysis. They have fewer linguists. They have never really examined the failures with regard to the Soviet Union in the 1980s. They've done an accountability report on 9/11 that's being covered up. It hasn't been released by the CIA, even though it was requested by the Congress in December 2002.
What do you mean it's being covered up?
It's been completed, but it hasn't been released to the Congress and to the White House as demanded by a congressional resolution.
Why hasn't it been released?
Well, that's a very good question, and my feeling is why in the world are congressional people who have asked for this report nearly 2 years ago
and losing their mind?
Democrats, are they still functioning as part of an independent branch of government? You know, what happens? What has happened to the checks and balances of this government that we really depend on to protect the interests of the people and to get the best possible decisions out of governmental institutions?
Well, that was going to be my next question. I mean, is there anything in Washington, D.C. that is going to be asking that the CIA remain an independent institution or become an independent institution?
Well, I don't see anyone asking that question because we've been beguiled by the 9/11 Commission report. Everyone thinks that's a great report.
Is it?
I have to report to you that it isn't. I've read it carefully. I've read the staff studies of the 9/11 Commission. The staff studies are very good. But what the 9/11 Commission has recommended, and here are the two recommendations that are really harmful. In the first place, they want to create an intelligence czar inside the White House, inside the executive branch. Well, that's the best way to politicize the intelligence. Just put the czar in the White House, and I guarantee you, you will have politicized intelligence. The other thing that the 9/11 Commission didn't understand was the need for redundancy in the intelligence community. You have to have different agencies competing, basically. You have to have competitive analysis. You can't have one agency or one department or any single group of people being responsible for all intelligence analysis. Because the fact of the matter is, we don't have total certainty when we're dealing with intelligence. We're dealing with subtlety, we're dealing with nuance, we're dealing with incomplete evidence.
And we're dealing,
with assumption.
And we're also dealing with cultures that are not our own.
Exactly. And we have really eroded our capability to do that. And you can see that just looking at the daily newspapers in terms of eroding our ability to understand other cultures. We don't have foreign bureaus and newspapers the way
we don't
have. We don't pay attention to international news the way we used to. And if you look at this administration, this is the most arrogant group of people in terms of a small group, in terms of a white cultural American mindset, totally ethnocentric, that not only has no understanding or appreciation for other cultures or other societies, but is totally arrogant. And I'll give you just one example.
And we have 2 minutes. Well,
okay, we were going to introduce democracy into Iraq. So the way we were going to do that was to impose the interim president, who was on the CIA payroll for at least 20 years when I was at the CIA, and then we wrote a constitution for Iraq in secret. A group of American white men.
White men, yes.
They wrote in secret a constitution that ultimately has to become a public document, and that's supposed to be the first instrument for building a constitution in Iraq. I mean, this group of people has turned the world upside down, and it's time for the American people to get a wake-up call and understand that regime change begins at home, and November the 2nd is the day to put that policy into effect.
Do you see that happening, Professor?
I'm nervous, Liz. I'll tell you the truth. They still say it's a dead heat. They still say people are undecided. I think you have to be brain dead to be undecided at this point, given the choice that we have. You still have Ralph Nader, who I think is a total political narcissist, in the race. I don't know what he thinks he's trying to achieve. I'm worried about your state of Missouri.
Well, they've given up on our state.
Pulled the money
out and bolted. They're gone.
That to me was my first warning that things aren't going well.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you very much, Professor. It's been great.
Thank you for having me. I wish I could leave you with a more upbeat message.
There's no good news, is there?
Maybe November the 3rd.
All right. And where can people get a copy of your book?
Barnes & Noble has the book, Borders, Amazon.com. It should be in the independent bookstores as well. And I think the book is written to be a wake-up call, because there's also a chapter in there that talks about what needs to be done.
And that's the best part.
The agenda.
At the very end of the book, there is a what should be done section, and that's a very powerful component to the book. Professor Melvin Goodman, thank you so much for joining us here on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown will be live in the studio beginning Monday at 6 a.m. We'll have more of the best of the Wake Up Call up next. So stay tuned for that following the ABC News, local news, traffic, and your weather right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Before we looked at each other in the same way then. But I can't remember when. Oh, when. The clothes you are wearing are the clothes you wore. I can't remember where. Oh, where. Some things that happen for the first time, they seem to be happening again. I get the feeling we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing, the clothes you wore, smiled, you were smiling, you were smiling, but I can't remember where or when. Some things have happened for the first time. Happening again.
Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back on Monday bright and early at 6 a.m. in the studios. So right after the top of the hour news, we'll have another great wake-up call best of segment on your way right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you stand?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. First it was the House, now the Senate. President Bush meeting with the top two leaders in the other House of Congress today. ABC's Ann Compton has more on the president's meeting this morning with Harry Reid and Dick Durbin.
Senator Reid comes in to see President Bush just 24 hours after Democrats were assured they will control both houses of Congress.
This time for new direction has given us an opportunity, a chance to prove to the American people that we can work with the Republicans.
President Bush says that he would welcome any new ideas on Iraq, although he faces stiff opposition on his war policies. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Anyone want to be chairman of the Republican National Committee? The job is going to be open soon. Officials say Ken Mellman plans to step down when his term ends in January. Now, the Washington Times is reporting that the post has been offered to Maryland Lieutenant Governor and former U.S. Senate candidate Michael Steele, who lost his bid for the Senate on Tuesday. Donald Rumsfeld says history will determine just how good a defense secretary he was. The top man at the Pentagon handed in his resignation earlier this week. Staff Sergeant Chris Bain, who served and was wounded in Iraq, says it's not exactly cut and dry.
Mr. Rumsfeld was a good secretary of defense. He really was. He's a little ruthless. He needs to calm down, relax, and speak to people instead of yelling at them.
Rumsfeld plans to step down when his replacement, Robert Gates, is confirmed. The FBI is looking into a video of what appears to be an L.A. police officer attacking a suspect. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says he wants to hear all of the facts.
Sometimes those images don't tell the full story. Again, I'm not coming to judgment at this point.
Police say the suspect was a gang member resisting arrest. It rained a lot at Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State. That's an understatement, actually. The park got about 18 inches in 36 hours, so much damaged. It'll be closed for weeks. This is ABC News.
To withdraw, to go away, to disappear. That's how the dictionary defines retirement. Time to redefine. Your generation's definitely not headed for bingo night. In fact, you could write a book about how you're going to turn retirement upside down.
The best book on retirement is the one you'll write, The Dream Book from Ameriprise Financial. To talk with an advisor near you about your retirement dreams, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE today.
Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member NASD and SIPC.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
They're the little school that's a big surprise in college football this year. Rutgers still undefeated after knocking off number 3 Louisville last night, 28-25. Brian Leonard is a running back for the Scarlet Knights.
And this is the new Rutgers, and it's just a dream of mine to take this team at 9-0 right now, and this is an unbelievable feeling, and I love it.
Now, the Knights were ranked 15th in this week's polls. They should move up a few in the next round. It's a holiday today, sort of.
President Woodrow Wilson first proclaimed Armistice Day in 1919 to honor the doughboys returning from World War I. On this Veterans Day, there are about 150,000 men and women over there in Iraq. There are more than 26 million living veterans, most of whom served during Vietnam. More than 4 million men and women have served in uniform since the first Gulf War, and more than 2 million are younger than 35. Many of those young men and women are veterans of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
ABC Steve Portnoy. The holiday is actually tomorrow. ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a person of interest is in custody in the murder of an Overland woman. The body of 37-year-old Amy Kramer was found Wednesday afternoon at her home on Argyle. Authorities say Kramer's death has been ruled a homicide, but the cause of her death hasn't been released. There was no sign of forced entry into her home. What started as a car fire is now a possible murder investigation. The body of a man was found last night inside a burning car in the 400 block of Vista. The victim's name hasn't been released. There's no word on what caused his death. St. Louis County Executive Charlie Dooley's party now has the upper hand on the county council. The council now has a 4-3 Democratic majority, thanks in part to Republican Kurt Odenwald's ousting in favor of Democrat Barbara Frazier in Tuesday's election. Dooley says St. Louis County residents will benefit from this power shift.
There will be less distractions. It's going to give us an opportunity to really look at our program, what we're doing, and really have an aggressive program to move the county forward. We're still going to continue to reach across the county lines. No, in St. Louis County, it's not about party affiliation. It's about like interests. Are we going in the same direction? Do we have the same goals and objectives? It's about finding the common ground and to move our community forward.
Dooley also had a good night on Tuesday as he won his re-election bid for county executive over Republican candidate Joe Passanisi. A former Collinsville resident faces sentencing in February after pleading guilty to several charges in an identity theft case. Monica Reed pleaded guilty yesterday to 6 counts of wire fraud and 1 count each of bank fraud, credit card fraud, aggravated identity theft, and use of a false document. Reed could face 20 years or more in prison on the most serious of the charges. Finally this hour, the James S. McDonnell USO will host its third annual Salute to Heroes Gala this weekend. The event will honor 10 local military personnel for their accomplishments both overseas and on the home front. Amber Power Spector, a spokesperson for the USO, says the Behind Every Uniform Award will be presented to someone who supports their military loved ones. A silent and live auction will also be held to benefit the USO. The Salute to Heroes Gala will be held at 5:30 Saturday evening at the Chase Park Plaza Hotel. For more information on the event, log on to www.usostl.org. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Discovery Channel's Man vs. Wild. There's a million things that can go wrong in the wild, and Bear Grylls is out to try every one of them so you don't have to. Man vs. Wild, a new kind of survival show, tonight at 8 on the Discovery Channel. Watch, learn, survive. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. There's fog throughout the metropolitan area, and it's expected to be here most of the morning, so just use caution to slow down in both directions. 170 at Del Mar and Page, there's construction reducing at the two lanes. Expect delays if you're running up and down 170. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, you've got heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 at Gravois through Marshall, expect congestion going on. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill and 270, look for normal traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant, expect some delays. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays all the way from the state line into downtown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, there's no delays at the top of the ramp at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, cooler. Chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. This afternoon, storms could be severe. The high should be in the mid-60s. For this evening, everything changes. Breezy, colder, rain showers likely in the evening, then scattered rain after midnight with a low in the lower 30s. For Veterans Day tomorrow, look forward to much colder, mostly cloudy, a chance of flurries in the morning, and partly sunny in late morning and afternoon hours with a high only in the mid-40s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 30s, and on Sunday, partly sunny with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have areas of fog and 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting fog and 57 as well. Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back on Monday. So stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Stick around for the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is off today, but we will bring you the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizens.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as a liberal and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number, and we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You can hear us all over the world, so if you want to call us long distance toll free, that number is easy, 1-877-920-WGNU. We have a very special show for you today. There is a very special show for you today. We have joining us from St. Croix, author Randall Robinson, to talk about President Aristide, to talk to us about his book, Quitting America, and talk to us about America. Good morning, Randall Robinson. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm not joining you from St. Croix.
Oh, you're not? Where are you?
I live in St. Kitts.
St. Kitts. I'm sorry.
St. Croix is an American possession. St. Kitts is an independent country.
Very good. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. It's good to talk to you again.
Yes, it's been a while.
It's been a while, and much has happened. Much has happened. I was reviewing one of your books last night, Defending the Spirit. That was the first time that you joined us here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the chapter on Restoration Day, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And you described in just beautiful, beautiful language the feeling that you had in bringing back President Aristide to Haiti. And I wondered as I was reading that portion of Defending the Spirit, how you must have felt or what you felt as you went to the Central Republic of Africa to rescue President Aristide. Could you talk to us about what led to that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you well enough. What led to which?
I wanted to just do a comparison of the feelings that you had, the one feeling that you had back in 94 when you returned President Aristide to Haiti, and the feeling that you had when you went to the Central Republic of Africa to rescue President Aristide.
Well, when we went to the Central African Republic to rescue President Aristide, we had a feeling of anxiety. We were met with a military dictatorship that mixed in its greeting fear with menace. Guns were everywhere, and the airport was, for all intents and purposes, closed. There were no landing lights and no planes on the tarmac. Only one flight a week comes in and out from Paris. It's a military fortress. The country is virtually controlled, owned still by France, rich under the ground but poor above it, rich in diamonds, gold, uranium. But the French control all of that, and the people are still poor. The U.S. has no diplomatic relations with it, nor does Africa, the African Union, because of the way the government came to power by virtue of a coup. And so it was clear to us that President Aristide was being held prisoner there. President Bozizé may have been the guard, but the warden was the United States and France, the U.S. that carried him there against his will. Obviously, the day in October 94 was a day of great joy. Democracy had been restored on President Clinton's watch, and we were very hopeful that Haiti, after 200 years, would get finally a chance. The next month, in November, the Republicans took over Congress, and the coup that culminated a few weeks ago began then, because the Republicans that then began to sever all American assistance to Haiti, and we're talking about a country that has been punished for its successful rebellion against against France
for 200 years.
For 200 years, and the French wanted to make certain that the 200th anniversary was not celebrated, because it marked the defeat of Napoleon Bonaparte and his 60,000-person army, and the U.S. Wanted to make certain that it wasn't celebrated either, and so. We had 200 years of sanctions from the world, led by Thomas Jefferson, until the Emancipation Proclamation. We had the victims of French slavery paying reparations to France. We had Woodrow Wilson's invasion in 1915, which took thousands of Haitian lives and virtually all of their property. And then we had the American-sponsored dictatorships, military dictatorships. And then we had FRAP and the killers recently that have been armed by the United States waiting for the opportunity across the border and moved, obviously, with American tacit endorsement a few weeks ago to overturn that democracy, and then the forcible abduction of the president by U.S. forces taken into forcible exile. So we were greatly saddened, and we didn't know what to expect when we got to the Central African Republic. We felt very much that as long as we were in the country, we were only there for about 6 hours. We arrived on Sunday evening at 6:30 on a chartered jet, and were allowed to leave just after midnight with the president. But for the time that we were there, we knew that not only was the president a prisoner, but we were prisoners as well.
Were you concerned about your life?
Somewhat, yes. I mean, it was in the back of everyone's mind, surely. I mean, you had to be. There were things going on we couldn't see, couldn't understand. And the president said that he couldn't let President Bozizi said he couldn't release President Aristide until he spoke with the United States and France, and so it was made plain enough to us who was in control.
And in terms of our government, you were there though unofficially, not against the will or the wishes of the United States government. I mean, they couldn't officially say that President Aristide was prisoner, but they certainly didn't want you there.
No, absolutely. And we didn't even have visas because we didn't have time to get them.
So you traveled without visas to this country.
Say again?
You traveled without visas to this
country. We traveled without visas. To the country, and that's how chancy this mission was. It was an extraordinarily risky mission, but of course, a member of Congress was in the leadership of this group, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who deserves, I think, more credit than anyone else for pulling this off. We had a representative of the Jamaican government, Sharon Hay Webster, who was, as a member of the Jamaican Parliament, representing Prime Minister Patterson, presented a letter to President Bozizi saying that Jamaica was prepared to provide a temporary asylum to President Aristide. And we had the president's lawyer, Ira Kurzban, with us. And so,
what was our government's official position on your trip? What did they say?
Well, they said nothing publicly. They have no relations, of course, with the Central African Republic, and their website discourages Americans from going there, saying that it's a dangerous place to go because there are armed bands. A coup could occur at any moment. It's a very unstable place. But we thought that the United States had abducted a democratic leader after they had overthrown his government and taken him to a country that is virtually cut off from the world, thinking that he would be isolated there.
And in control of by another dictator.
And controlled by another dictator, and thinking that no one could reach him there. And we thought it was a chance that we were willing to take, and we took it, and we brought him home to the Caribbean.
Now, it's
of course, after that, it's important to remember that the United States, we were given information by White House sources that Condoleezza Rice had threatened not only Jamaica, but the other Caribbean nations, threatened Jamaica that if it didn't expel him immediately, that Jamaica would face serious consequences from the U.S.
Now, this is in the midst of Condoleezza Rice refusing to testify under oath before the 9/11 Commission. She's found time to threaten the Caribbean.
That's absolutely right. And, of course, the Caribbean resisted that at first. Not only did the U.S. threaten the Caribbean, they coaxed Nigeria, pressured Nigeria, into granting an asylum. Of course, the Nigerians did grant that, but the president did not want to go to Nigeria.
Why is that?
Because he was making other plans to go eventually to another country that has not been officially disclosed. The Jamaicans told him he would be given weeks in which to do that, and they have kept their word. And they resisted the pressure of the United States. It was a heroic thing for Prime Minister Patterson to do.
It really is. What kind of when someone like Condoleezza Rice threatens Jamaica and other countries in the Caribbean? What can she do with that? I mean, what is the real threat that?
Well, they can do a lot of things, and very easily, and without a great deal of violence. Once a Caribbean leader was told, a Jamaican leader was told some years ago that that if the country made trouble, they would the U.S. would simply have all American passports stamped not valid for travel to Jamaica.
Mm.
Knowing how dependent Jamaica is on tourism, the U.S. is the most powerful country in the world. These islands are democracies, but not powerful countries, and the U.S. routinely threatens them. Last weekend, here in the intersessional meeting of the CARICOM community, all of the Caribbean countries assembled here in St. Kitts, and again resisted American pressure. The Americans were pressuring them to recognize the American-installed government of Haiti, and the Caribbean declined to do so. You cannot recognize a government in the wake of a coup overthrowing a democracy. You cannot recognize a government that in no way could be described as democratic. No one in it is elected. All there by virtue of an American forcible installation.
And just tell us who and what CARICOM is.
CARICOM is the community of the largely English-speaking Caribbean, although Haiti is a member, and there are other members that are not English-speaking. But largely English-speaking, democratic Caribbean countries make up CARICOM, and they have a community that negotiates and makes constructive arrangements for trade relations between the member countries and other relations as well.
And what is the force and the authority of CARICOM?
Well, it doesn't have any real authority, moral authority, and the authority to behave as an independent community to the extent that it can afford to do so in the face of the enormous pressure from a country like the United States. The United States has behaved brutally in this situation, awfully. Hostile to democracy in the region, and has made no bones about it. I have never seen anything like this before, and I've now seen it from both sides. I've lived here for the last 2.5 years, and so it's given me a chance to see America from the business side of the gun's barrel. And it is not a pleasant sight to see. And seeing it expressed from this administration is unlike anything I've ever seen before, too.
What do you mean by that? I mean, how do you give us an example of how it's worse? Because you have seen so much, so I'm kind of stunned at the idea that you're saying that this is the worst that you have seen. Make that clear to us in terms
well,
of
Well, when you, I don't recall, in at least in my direct experience, with my direct involvement, having personal knowledge of a situation where a president was forced from his home at gunpoint of American Marines, where there's no question about the president's having been democratically elected to his post the last time by 94% of the vote, forced onto a plane with the shades drawn, with the falsified manifest. The plane lands in...
falsified manifest? What do you mean?
The manifest was seen by officials in Antigua. It said the plane originated in Guantanamo, and said that it had no passengers. Actually, the plane contained at least 20 fully uniformed American Marines with in full battle gear, and the shades were drawn. And when Mrs. Aristide tried to raise the shades, she was told to lower them. They were told they weren't told where they were going, or where they were at any of the intermediate stops, and weren't told they were in the Central African Republic until they were making their approach to the country. And then the American officials told the press that, of course, the Central African Republic was the president's choice, which is absolutely absurd. The president never had a chance to express his choice, and had he had that chance, he would never have chosen the Central African Republic.
Well, that's insane.
It is insane. And at the same time, we're talking about a country that blocked all loans, $146 million in loans from the Inter-American Development Bank to the Democratic Haitian government. Cut out all bilateral assistance, cut out loans for safe drinking water, for health care clinics, for education and roads, provided 20,000 guns to be used along the Dominican Republic border, M16s, the same guns that were borne by the thugs who came across the border who had been hiding on the other side. An administration that blocked all military assistance to the Haitian government to defend itself, including tear gas, to even control crowds. An administration that strangled the democratic government of Haiti and gave it over into the hands of killers who now are the only law that exists in Haiti, and then install unelected people to run it on America's behalf. It is unbelievable what the U.S. has done to that country. In the north, in Cap Haitian, at least 50 people are being executed a day. The prime minister, President Aristide's prime minister, is in the country in hiding. Mm-hmm. The former Prime Minister Neptune, René Préval, the former president, is in the country in hiding. The finance minister, who was here at our home in St. Kitts having dinner with us some months ago, is in the country and in hiding. The mayor of Milo, a small town in the north near Cap Haitian, is in the country and hiding. People are being killed willy-nilly. Up to 1,000 people have been killed so far by the rebels, called rebels then, thugs as we knew them, supported by the United States and France. It is an unmitigated assault upon democracy and the human rights of the people of that that country. And America bears the major responsibility for it. Harris Deed is one of the finest human beings I've ever known, a decent man, who committed only the sin of having been born poor and having spoken up for the poor to an America that favors the Haitian rich, and who committed further in American eyes the unpardonable sin of asking the rich of Haiti to raise the minimum wage beyond $1.60 per day, asking the rich to pay for the first time taxes, and asking the rich to stop the practice of keeping indentured young women as virtual slaves in homes and given only food and a place to sleep. And for this, Aristide was carted off in the night by American troops and flown into a forcible exile. America should be ashamed of itself.
You also say that in your book, Defending the Spirit, that Aristide also had something else. He appeared to own himself, a quality never liked by American officials in third world leaders.
Well, I say that again. There's a whole chapter on him in the new book, mm-hmm. Quitting America.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We have to take a break right now. I am here with Randall Robinson joining us from St. Kitts. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after that. Stay with us.
Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back Monday live in the studio. Stick around. We'll have more of the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
Good morning, St. Louis. 35 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. In both directions, 170 at Del Mar and Page. Look for road construction. It's reduced to 2 lanes. Expect delays. Eastbound 78K and 79. You've got heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall. Look for no problems to report at this hour. Westbound 270 at 367 in Florissant. Look for no delays. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Big Bend. Look for very heavy volume. Westbound 5570 at the PSB. All the way from the state line in downtown. Expect delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. There's some delays there. Chambers at Barron Drive. There's an accident reported. And Clayton at Carson. There's an accident reported as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Start your day with a little daylight savings time at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious extra breakfast extra value meals like the Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Cooler, chance of showers and thunderstorms with occasional severe storms this afternoon are possible. High will be in the mid-60s. For this evening, colder, breezy, rain showers likely in the evening and scattered rain after midnight. Low in the lower 30s. For Veterans Day Saturday, look forward to mostly cloudy skies. Chance of flurries in the morning and partly sunny throughout the day with a high only in the mid-40s. And Sunday, not quite as cool, partly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies and 56 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 57. Stay tuned for more of the best of Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz will be back in the studio live on Monday beginning at 6 a.m. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hello, this is Regina Ruiz. I would like to invite you to tune in to my broadcast on Sunday afternoons here on WGNU. The program is called Talk to Me. I will be delivering a message to build your faith and improve your life, and will be taking your calls live. Listen every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and talk to me, Regina Ruiz, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
We now take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz will be back live Monday beginning at 6 a.m. More of the best of the wake-up call right now on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning I am joined from St. Kitts by author Randall Robinson. Randall, welcome back.
Liz, I'm going to have to ask your indulgence for a second. This line is hard for me to hear you on. Can we go off for a second? Let me speak to your person there, and I'll give another number to call me back on.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break and have you connect. I'm going to put you on hold and let you talk to my engineer, and then you all can make the reconnect, and we can come back.
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much. 454-0400 is my phone number. Patrick, if you could take care of that. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. As I look through Randall Robinson's new book, Quitting America, it's just the title itself is a fascinating statement, and a statement that Let me give you something anecdotal. I was at a black-owned shop not too long ago, a few days ago, and I was having my nails done at Alternative Nails, and we were sitting in and talking about Randall Robinson and his book, and there was a white a citizen in there getting his nails done. And one of the workers there at the shop asked me, well, what's the next book for your book club? And I said, Quitting America. And the white guy that was getting his nails done almost just fell out of his seat at the mere mention of the title, Quitting America. The concept is so foreign, too, unimaginable. 454-0400 is my phone number, and I believe Randall Robinson is back on the line. Good morning. Is that better?
Yes, much better.
All right. I was looking at reading your book, Quitting America, and like I said, you mentioned it in Defending the Spirit, but you expand on it in Quitting America. The reason, the psychological reasons that America loathes someone like President Aristide. You talk about how he's self-possessed and principled.
Yeah, I think America is accustomed to people who can be bullied. They don't like or never have had any history of being sympathetic to the world's poor. They never accept any responsibility for this this poverty. Americans never examine themselves. It's the same thing with slavery, with discrimination, with colonialism, with abusive trade policies. America is the most powerful country in the world, and it enjoys bullying people and does not like people who are self-possessed. And respond bravely with that self-possession
and principled
American tactics
and principled.
And President Aristide is all of those things, and he spoke up for the poor from the very beginning of this relationship. The U.S. has always favored the rich in Haiti, and Haiti looks very much like South Africa in so many ways. It is not just a question of class; it's a question of color as well, and so mixed race people are largely those who own the country, and the people who the descendants of those who freed it from France and defeated Bonaparte and defied Jefferson are the people that America continues to punish in this case in the guise of President Aristide, who represents those the interest of the poor.
Now, America has gone so far as to pay out millions of dollars in interest to commission fees. Could you talk to us about that, to the Inter-American Development Bank?
Well, the Haitians paid out commission fees on the loans that they sought and never got any money. They paid $5 million or so in such fees. The loans were voted by the bank, but never disbursed because of American opposition. The United States single-handedly blocked the disbursement of those loans. And when one thinks what the loans were for, safe drinking water,
and the
Robert F. Kennedy
right.
Foundation, of course, brought suit against the United States in federal district court in Washington D.C. for doing that. Ethel Kennedy, the widow of Robert Kennedy, visited with an American delegation that comprised members of Congress and others and saw people dying of curable ailments because of the absence of health care facilities in certain areas of the country, areas that were targeted for clinics to be built with the loans that that America blocked.
And when we talk about these commission fees, it's unimaginable. I mean, tell us specifically what Haitians had to pay in order to get loan money.
I'm saying, well, as I said, we're talking about millions of dollars that they were paying, had paid, to have these monies released, and the U.S. saw to it that the monies were never released.
And in terms of other actions that America has engaged in to get at the people of Haiti, What is America's interest in making certain that Haiti remains as it is? What is America's interest?
Well, you've got a reservoir of cheap labor that on the pay scale is not much above slave wages. We're talking about people who make less than $1.60 a day. And so it's an investor's paradise. One can go there and have people work for virtually nothing. And so obviously the return on the investment would be outrageously and defensively high. America likes that. It really doesn't care about what happens to the Haitian people. Has no sympathetic instinct at all for the suffering of the Haitian people. None can be found in the American character and its behavior towards Haiti. To think that you've got Toto Constant, the head of FRAP, who, when democracy was restored by the Clinton administration, simply bounced over the border to the Dominican Republic, caught a plane to New York in 1994, and he's been there since, living in Queens, selling real estate. But you see, we provided safe haven to a known murderer who has killed hundreds of people himself, hiding him, keeping him in New York with a full awareness of the administration.
And on the other side of the
world, on the other side of that, hustled off the democratically elected president of the country.
And we have
to a remote country in Africa, having forced him aboard a plane at gunpoint with his wife, separating him from his two small girls, his children, who had were being kept by their grandparents in Miami.
And we also have on the other side of that France, who has been harboring Duvalier. Baby Doc Duvalier.
Oh, sure.
And it's my understanding that has he received a passport or diplomatic permission to enter back into Haiti?
Well, I don't know that he even has to receive that.
Mm.
You don't have any law in Haiti now.
Mm.
So Haiti is what the thugs now say that it is. The American and French forces are standing by as the thugs execute people all over the country, whomever they catch. Trials are held on the spot, 5-minute trials, and people are executed there within sight of American and French forces.
And talk to us about the political structure, the political parties that existed prior to the abduction of President Aristide. Because President Aristide was part of a political party that was growing and was going to be a very powerful influence in Haiti.
Well, obviously, the majority party in Haiti is Lavalas.
And that's a Creole
Aristide's party, the Cleansing Flood.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been banned from any involvement in this illegal government now in power in the country. So you cannot come out of this with a democratic government. You cannot destroy a democracy and replace it with a democracy without coming to terms with what you have destroyed. You can't say that Lavalas can't participate in government because they're citizens of the country. They've broken the laws, and given the opportunity to vote, they'll vote for Aristide, and of course he'll be reinstated as president. If they're not allowed to participate, then what you have is not a democracy. This is what America has done.
And we're going to take another break, folks. I am here with Randall Robinson. This is Liz Brown. The Wake Up Call. We'll be back to talk further about his book.
We'll be back with more of the best of The Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Broadcast
has been
been a Sunday morning tradition in St. Louis for over 30 years.
We bring you the best love songs on the gospel scene.
Plus late-breaking church news.
Words of inspiration.
And, well, just a whole lot of fun.
Join me, Evangelist Stella Norrie.
And me, Brother Mel St. Clair. Sunday mornings from 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m.
Here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline London. Some 1,600 terror suspects are being tracked by the British intelligence agency MI5. Agency Director General Eliza Manningham Butler says young British Muslims are being groomed to become suicide bombers and that future attacks could involve chemical or nuclear weapons. She believes those being tracked are involved in about 30 major terrorist plots. She emphasized the plots are priority one cases. Manningham Butler says her warnings are not intended to cause alarm, but to paint a frank picture of the reality. Dateline Mexico City. Mexico City's assembly voted yesterday to legally recognize gay civil unions. The move sets the stage to legally recognize gay partnerships for the first time in the world's second largest Roman Catholic country. The local Congress in a northern state bordering Texas is also debating a similar plan. The two Mexican initiatives are modeled after France's civil code, calling for property, pension, inheritance, and even co-parenting rights. However, they stop short of allowing full marriage or adoption of children. This is your WGNU Global News Update.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
We'll take you back to more of the best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Africans chained to the slave ships for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake-Up Call. I am here with author Randall Robinson joining us from St. Kitts. Welcome back, Randall Robinson.
Thank you.
Your recent book, Quitting America, I was telling a little story about just how the name of that, the name of your book, impacts upon white America. What made you write this book? What drove you to this? What pushed you to this?
Well, I'm afraid to say that America had worn me out. I'm 62 years old. I wanted to live in a non-racist, non-materialist society for some period of my life where people cared about each other and were involved in each other's lives, where the mall wasn't the church, where things weren't everything, where money didn't count for all, where race wasn't in every one's mind, where it wasn't a great burden, where it didn't obstruct human relations and crack the spirit. And I've found it here. This is a middle-income country that is a far superior society to America's, where people know how to live and know how to behave compassionately towards each other. In America, 43 million Americans don't have health care insurance. But every citizen has access to health care.
Everyone.
In a tiny, middle-income country like this, far more civilized than America. And the oddest thing about this book is it's won a completely new different, not completely, but to a large extent, a different audience from my previous books.
How so?
Because I've gotten literally, I would guess somewhere between 500 and 1,000 letters, half of whom, about 40% of which, are from white Americans who also want to leave America.
Mm.
I didn't expect that. It stunned me. But now, they don't seem to agree with me as I wouldn't expect them to.
For your reasons.
Thinking me preoccupied perhaps on the business of race, because race is the preoccupation of those who are victimized by it. But on the question of what is wrong with America and what ails its spirit beyond race, it's inhumanity generally. It's preoccupation with money and materialism. It's lost spirit.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz will be live on Monday, beginning at 6 a.m., but we'll take you to the top of the hour news and your weather and your traffic, and then more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Another White House working luncheon today for President Bush. Across the table will be the top two Democrats in the Senate, incoming Majority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada and his second-in-command, Illinois' Dick Durbin. And while they may be a world apart on some issues, all three know it can't be business as usual anymore.
If Democrats want to hang on to the gains they made in what had been red states, Ken Warren, political scientist at St. Louis University, says the party must rethink traditional stances.
Democrats must show that they're sensitive to the social issues that are of concern to rural Americans, not being so adamantly pro-choice.
Exit polling suggests the 2006 election was a protest vote against the president. Democrats have work to do if they're to turn the 2008 election into a positive vote for them. Aaron Katursky, ABC News.
Michael Steele may have lined up a new job, the Washington Times says. The outgoing lieutenant governor of Maryland, who lost in his bid for the U.S. Senate, has been offered the job of chairman of the Republican National Committee. Steele would replace Ken Melman, who's stepping down in January. The next big race is beginning to heat up, the one for the White House in 2008, and the experts say Iraq could be as big an issue then as it was this week.
Neither of the current frontrunners in the race for president, John McCain or Hillary Clinton, has an interest in seeing Iraq remain a wrenching issue for the public. Both have been war supporters, though Clinton has distanced herself from the administration.
ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman in Washington. It's hard to believe it was 37 years ago today. Many of us turned on our TVs and we saw this show for the first time. Children's Television Workshop and Jim Henson teamed up on Sesame Street. The Muppets were still to come, so were Bob, Gordon, Maria, Mr. Hooper, and the rest of the cast. The first show was claymation. The new Ford Fusion is getting high marks from Consumer Reports' annual car preview. It also says the big three are making better cars than ever, but only eight American models made the list. This is ABC News.
I'm cruising in my ride, ride 16 switches. You gotta get my floss on, watch out.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
This Veterans Day weekend, Lowe's has everything you need to get things done. Buy a dishwasher over $297 and let us install it and get a free $50 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. Get 10% off all installed carpet plus a free pad. And put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and get special financing until January 2008 on any purchase over $299 November 9th through the 12th. See store for details. For all your late fall projects, come into Lowe's. Lowe's, let's build something together.
Borat is in hot water again.
The first times in America is that a woman is permitted to drive.
Two college students in L.A. are suing after Sacha Baron Cohen, who plays the often offensive Kazakh journalist in this film. They were told that when they were selected to appear in the movie, their names wouldn't be used and that the movie wasn't going to be shown in the U.S. Courtney Love is clean and sober, and apparently she is just as unpredictable as she ever was. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
This is going to be the next controversy.
Courtney Love bares her soul in her new book and bares her body in an upcoming magazine photo spread.
Naked as the day I was born.
Love says the naked photo shoot for Britain's Pop magazine was her idea when she didn't like the outfits they wanted her to wear.
Just give me some stockings and a pair of high heels and that's it.
The magazine comes out later this month, but she showed me the pictures.
How hot do I look?
Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, an elderly woman is dead after a crash in North St. Louis. Police say the 73-year-old woman was broadsided by a pickup truck as she pulled onto Natural Bridge near Newstead late yesterday afternoon. The woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Three people in the pickup were hurt, but there's no word on their conditions. The victim's name hasn't been released. A St. Louis man has been accused of a 1997 rape in Columbia. According to the Columbia Daily Tribune, a DNA sample has connected 36-year-old Corey Howlett to the rape of a 15-year-old girl at the teen's Columbia home. Howlett lived in Columbia at the time of the attack. He's in custody in St. Louis and will be taken back to Boone County to face charges of forcible rape and first-degree burglary. A new ad from the Missouri Department of Transportation features a MoDOT worker at the scene of a fatal work zone accident just 1 week before he was killed on the job. Kelly Hoyerman, Ken Hoyerman's widow, says motorists should ask themselves if they want other drivers to slow down if they were standing on the side of the road.
Or do they want someone going 70 miles an hour past them where it blows their head off or it sucks their body away from their car? Is that what they want? It's a common courtesy, and they're not extending it to other people.
Ken Hoyerman died August 15th when he was struck by a car while getting out of his vehicle to assist with a car fire along I-55 near Weber Road. Seven MoDOT workers have been killed and another 214 injured in work zone crashes since 2000. Finally this hour, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is riding the wave of his re-election to push for the passage of a minimum wage increase. Blagojevich rallied with workers in Wood River yesterday to drum up support for a minimum wage bill in the upcoming fall veto session. The governor's proposal would raise Illinois' minimum wage from $6.50 to $7.50 an hour. Missouri voters passed a ballot measure this week that raises their minimum wage from $5.15 to $6.50. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Discovery Channel's Man vs. Wild. There's a million things that can go wrong in the wild, and Bear Grylls is out to try every one of them so you don't have to. Man vs. Wild, a new kind of survival show, tonight at 8 on the Discovery Channel. Watch, learn, survive. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryant-Meyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Robitussin. There's fog moving into the downtown area, expected to be here most of the morning, so just exercise caution and slow down as you are on your way to work. Westbound 78, Lucas and Hunter's a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked and traffic's back up through Riverview. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Marshall, you can expect some delays. Westbound 270 from 367 through New Florissant, expect no problems there. Westbound 5570 is slow from the state line on into downtown. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving okay across the span into downtown this morning. Guyer at Manchester Road, there's a report of an injury accident. And southbound Hanley on 270, there's a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked, and apparently it's reported to be causing some delays there. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, cold, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's a Robitussin relief with your name on it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For the remainder of today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies. Chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with possible severe thunderstorms by the afternoon. The high should be in the mid-60s. For this evening, colder, breezy, rain showers likely in the evening and scattered rain after midnight with a low in the lower 30s. And for tomorrow, Saturday, Veterans Day, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries in the morning and partly sunny throughout the day with a high in the mid-40s. Saturday evening, mostly clear with a low in the lower 30s. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high around 50. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61, both with foggy conditions and overcast skies. Liz Brown is off today. She'll be back on Monday. So we're going to bring you more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as a liberal and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. If you would like to join us on the World Wide Web, AM sounds so lovely on the web. You can do that at www.wgnu.net. Do that. Tell your friends to do that. You need to do that to get to us. 454-0400 is the phone number. The long distance again is 1-877-920-WGNU. Today, this morning, in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by author, talk show host, community activist, businessman, vice president, former vice president of programming of WWRL in New York City, Bob Law. Bob Law, good morning.
Good Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. Bob, it's so wonderful to have you on the show. I'm a fan of your radio show, and I'm also a fan of your advocacy of our community. You have written a book, Voices for the Future. You're going to be in St. Louis to talk about that. Before we talk about your book, I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about the state of leadership in the community of African descent today. Talk to us about, since we're getting ready to hit up on the Super Bowl of politics, the presidential election, talk to us about where we stand right now as a community of African descent with our political leadership.
Well...
No, you know, just an easy question.
Yeah. You know, the, in reality is that the black community, black issues, concerns of black folk have been marginalized. It is, it's like nobody respects us. I mean, absolutely no one respects us. Even the people who operate the bodega in the black community treat us with disdain. As we come in even to spend our money, major department stores like Macy's here in New York City, the target of a number of lawsuits from people who have been racially profiled and accused of shoplifting, just that no one respects us. And part of the problem is that the leadership has stepped away from being an advocate of on behalf of black people. The leadership has said that it is not a black leadership, that they don't want to be known as black leaders. The leadership has been trying to make the point that they want to represent minorities. They want to represent everybody, and they don't want to. There's just kind of been an abandoning of the black community and of critical black issues. And so the black community suffers from that. It's a loss of power as a result of a loss of political identity. And so the black community is being represented by leadership that appears to be confused as well as anemic, but certainly confused. And so it is one of the reasons that some activists and scholars have begun to organize a Black Agenda Conference in Chicago for, I believe it's in April, that recognizes the need to put a commitment to black back on the mainstream. My concern is that the commitment to black, even on the part of black leadership, has been moved off the front burner. And black leaders are reluctant to say they are black. Black radio stations in New York City wanted to challenge racism in the ad industry, but they were afraid to say that they were challenging racism as black broadcasters, as black media. So they went to recruit everybody else they could so they could say that they are challenging racism on behalf of minority media. They said that they actually felt that if they said black, no one would take them seriously. So they gave up their identity, and that is part of what weakens our political posture in this country at this point.
That there is a inability to embrace black.
Yeah, there's an unwillingness
mm-hmm.
to embrace black.
Mm-hmm.
And to the suggestion is that black issues are not priority issues, not significant issues. That the future, the prosperity of black people, the future of black people politically, economically, are just not priority issues, that the issues of black people have to be tied up within the issues of all people. And see, that sounds fine as a kind of a cliche phrase. However, there are some things that have not been resolved in the black community, the issues around black youth, thugs, the attitudes that have been developing toward among black people toward black women. You know, there are things that we have really not resolved. Economic power, how we go about doing that, supporting each other, solidifying our own economic base. You know, there's no such thing as police violence in the white community. That is a black issue. No white or black or Latino policeman has ever shot an unarmed white child. They've never shot an unarmed white man. They never mistook.
You mean a person of color has never done that?
No, a person of color, none of them, mm-hmm. even a white policeman.
Oh, well, no, there are white police officers that have shot and killed unarmed white people. We have a white guy here in the city of St. Louis who was running from the police, who was unarmed, his back was to the police, climbing a fence away from the police, shot in the back and killed. And his mama said, well, he must have been doing something wrong. I mean, there's a totally different attitude towards it, but they do get it. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And for his mother to say he must have been doing something wrong, see, because in her mind there's no such thing as police violence.
There you go.
White community.
There you go.
You know, they don't mistake a white guy's wallet for a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in their mind.
Yeah, they don't shoot a 9-year-old white youth in the back of the head like Clifford Glover was shot in Brooklyn.
Right, right.
You know, it's a different. Kind of a, but that's just one example of this. There's a different, there are some issues that exist in the black community that have not been resolved. The teaching of white supremacy in the public school curriculum, where white people don't agree that they're teaching white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
That's not an issue that has been addressed and resolved in the black community or in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
we as the people that are the recipients of the weight of racism, of the majority of the weight of racism, we have a responsibility to deal with that, or to bring that issue to the forefront and to deal with it, and to make others deal with it.
And one of the things that is part of our challenge is that we have got to get our own community to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
See, very often in the black community, there's a lot of, it's painful to even acknowledge that you are still oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are black folk who are in serious denial.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some, we have a need to talk to continue to talk to each other. And we have a need for a liberating theology that has to be preached throughout the black community.
And we have to take a quick break here, please. I am here talking to Bob Law. Bob Law will be in St. Louis for the Black Book Fair that will be taking place.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown will be back on Monday. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call.
Will be there with his book, Voices for the Future, Appreciating the Past in Order to Understand the Present While Planning for the Future. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back on Monday live in the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Stick around for more Best of the Wake-Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Bob Law. Welcome back, Bob. Talk to us about, we were talking about black leadership, we were talking about the community of African descent's struggle to deal with the issues that confront us. Talk to us about this upcoming presidential election. Where do you see, black folks, people of African descent, actually having a choice in this presidential election?
Well, almost anybody is a choice over Bush. Mm-hmm. You know, compared to Bush, it'd be very difficult for someone to be very much like him. However, none of the Kerry has not, and no one has actually effectively addressed the very specific and significant concerns of black people. The black vote, like the black consumer dollar, is absolutely taken for granted. There's, and usually we are urged, see, we haven't been asked to vote for anyone in years. The last time black people were actually asked to vote for someone was in 1984 when we were urged to vote for Jesse. But since then, and even prior to that, we've always been urged to vote against someone. We have to vote against Bush. It is as though it doesn't really make any difference who runs, just so long as somebody runs against Bush. And so since Bush is such the boogeyman, and that is how candidates are offered to the black community most often, that we are urged to line up behind whoever will get the boogeyman out of office, and that person doesn't have to promise us anything except that they will get the boogeyman out of office. And so we are still in very much the same situation. The Democrats don't come with a really powerfully progressive candidate.
Not for us.
Right.
Not for us. Not, they don't articulate, prioritize, or attempt to deliver on our issues.
Not at all. And so we wind up in the same situation again, where we will be urged to support someone because they will get the boogeyman out of office. But it doesn't address our needs. There still is a need for a really powerful progressive candidate that we could actually vote for because we believe in what they stand for. Instead, we are urged to vote against what the incumbent president stands for. And so, and part of the tragedy, again, when we talk about the leadership, is that the leadership, just our leadership as it currently exists, promotes that same idea. They come to us, if we raise some questions about the candidate's failure to address our issues, they say, yes, but he's the best we have. And if you don't support this, you're going to get the other guy again. And they've been saying that for every presidential election, every gubernatorial election, you know, every mayoral election. The leadership seems content to simply contain to the political development of the black community as opposed to actually producing the kind of leadership, even in terms of electoral politics, the kind of candidates that we can enthusiastically support because of who they are. So we are in the same situation again. We needn't have high hopes for Kerry you know, our high hope is not that he is going to deliver anything meaningful for us. Our high hope is that he just won't be as bad as Bush. And that's a pitiful predicament for voters, any ethnic group, any voters to be in, to hope that the candidate they vote for will simply not be as bad as the other guy. But we really don't expect anything from him. In New York City, the Democrats have moved to take over New York's last black talk radio station, where they have fired all the black folk, the salespeople, the air staff, everybody, to put a new white talk station on the air.
What did you all do?
Well, the first public meeting is this Thursday.
And when did the firings take place?
Well, they've already done it, but they don't really go on the air until Thursday.
Okay.
You know, and see, but the...
The day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the community is kind of in it was WLIB, which was one of the premier black talk station in New York, and the community in New York is just, the black community is kind of in a state of shock and weren't really clear what was happening. They fired everybody and they took the programming off and just began to play music and never said anything.
So who owns that radio station? Is that a Clear Channel? Is that, who owns it?
The station, LIB, is owned by Percy Sutton. It's owned by black folk.
It's owned by black people.
Right. And they leased it to Air America, which I understand is the broadcast network that we understand Al Gore has organized.
That's right. That's the so-called liberal talk shows that are coming in. You're going to have people like Chuck D is going to be partnering with Janine Garofalo and also people like Al Franken. Who's supposed to be on it? Yes.
Yes, there's Al Franken, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Number of people. It's a white talk format.
Yes, it is.
And
yes, it is.
Chuck D was asked to join it and just told that they were going to try to clear stations. He didn't know that the station that they were going to go to clear would be the only black talk station left in the city, and they are mentioning that Chuck is going to be there. But Chuck is only going to be there for 2 months. He's just helping to launch it. He's not really totally committed to that.
And they weren't going to give him an entire show. He was going to share the airspace with someone else, too, is my understanding.
Yeah, because
they wiped clean African folks on the air to put on this.
This is the so-called liberals, who say that they are the alternative to the conservatives who own all the airwaves.
But they got rid of black folks to do that.
Yes, they fired even the sales department. They won't even let the black salespeople represent the new liberal talk shows.
Oh, this is outrageous.
And so, but your question is still a very good question when you said, what did we do?
Yes.
Because there's not a real strong response. We'll lay out some strategies at Thursday's meeting, but it didn't have the black community up in arms. It didn't have the black community out in front of the place because the black leadership starts to soft pedal it. See, black leadership is all tied up with the owners, and so they don't say anything. They don't protest it. They don't make an issue of this. They're not opposed to it happening. They are willing to cooperate with almost all the efforts to contain and to confuse the black community. So to this point, the black community has really not done anything, although there are some things that we're going to lay out at the rally on Thursday. But that is some people, the activists who are still very much committed to the black community, who have decided to do something about it. There are some articles local black papers released one article saying, where is the black leadership? That station had been serving the Caribbean community primarily at the point that they took them off the air.
Okay, and we have to take another quick break here, please. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Bob Law. We're talking about African leadership. We're talking about the state of African power here in the United States at this time. And we're also, when we get back, we're also going to talk some to Bob Law about his book, Voices for the Future, Appreciating the Past in Order to Understand the Present While Planning for the Future. Don't forget that Bob Law will be at the Black Book Fair this Saturday.
This is a best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
I'll be back. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a quick look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's weather is sponsored, or this hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. There's fog moving into the downtown area, so just use caution and slow down through the work zones. Westbound 70 after Bermuda, there's a report of an accident. Left lane's blocked and traffic's backed up through Jennings Station Road. And an earlier disabled vehicle at Lucas and Hunt has been cleared, but that is also adding to the delays. Northbound 270 from Gravois through Marshall, expect some delays. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to 270, expect delays. Eastbound 70 from K to 79, look for normal traffic this morning. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, no problems there. And westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge is flowing smoothly today. Southbound Ladue at Olive, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. There's a short delay at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Walmart. Walmart's rolling back prices on tons of toys and Toyland, like their X Games motorbike was $149.52, now just $119. Plus, they've rolled back prices on over 10,000 items, so stop by and save big. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, cooler today, and showers and thunderstorms may be severe at times this afternoon with a high in the mid-60s. This evening, colder, breezy, rain showers likely in the evening, and scattered showers after midnight with a low in lower 30s. Veterans Day tomorrow, Saturday, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries in the morning and partly sunny by later in the morning and the afternoon hours with a high only in the mid-40s. For Saturday evening, mostly clear, low in the lower 30s, and Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the upper 50s. Currently, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown is out today. She'll be back on Monday, so we bring you more of the best of the wake-up calls. Stay tuned also for your news, weather, and traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Radio caller, away!
Folks, that's the Lone Ranger. Catch him weekdays at 5 p.m. here on WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
We now take you back to more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Well, welcome back to the wake-up call. I am here with author Bob Law. Good morning, Bob.
Yes.
Welcome back. So, y'all are going to have the meeting on Thursday.
Yeah.
And you said on the way out that this was a radio station that was primarily at dealing with and addressing Caribbean issues.
Right. Yeah. It for most of the day. But LIB is a legacy station in New York City. It's been a black legacy station. It's been the premier black talk station. Mm-hmm. And then, see, one of the problems is that black media, like the black community, is kept poor by policy, by design, by advertising agency policy of discounting the rates, of devaluing the black consumer. Black radio goes to Madison Avenue. Black newspapers go to Madison Avenue. They say, we're charging you a dollar. Madison Avenue says we only pay you 80 cents on the dollar. We'll pay you 75 cents on the dollar because your audience is not of great value. They're not like white audiences. So even if you say you have audience, we won't pay you what we pay for those numbers ordinarily because you're delivering a black consumer that is of lesser value. Then you have the ratings people who say that nobody's listening. And then you get the owners who continue to change the format by, see, when they change the format, they're like, they're pretending that format is the problem rather than acknowledging that it is a policy, a racist policy. There was a press conference in New York City, I believe, yesterday, where a group of Latino city council members, I believe they were all Latino, had a press conference on the steps of City Hall where they are challenging the Nielsen television ratings, saying exactly the same thing, and they're looking for the New York City Council to look into a kind of racist policy that deliberately undercounts and devalues Latino viewers, you know, so because they recognize that it is not what's on the air, it's not format, it's not the content of the programming, it is a policy that is used to keep them poor. Well, the same thing happens in black media. Black radio, black print media is the victim of the same thing. The difference is how the leadership responds. Mm-hmm. See, our leadership pretends that it is something that we're doing or not doing on the air.
Well, are there people within the political structure there in New York that you believe are, that are of African descent that are attempting to address these issues?
Yep, there's Charles Barron in the city council,
mm-hmm.
who is an activist who came up from us. He came up from among us, and I think that that is the kind of thing that we're going to have to do, right? Because, you know, we've historically made a correct analysis of the contradictions in the political process. But it has resulted in what Dr. King called the paralysis of analysis. After we had analyzed it correctly, we are so gratified that we were right. We just exhale, pleased to have been right. We don't do anything about it. You know, we can point out how the people who run for office are inadequate. But we have not produced a cadre of really progressive candidates for office that are adequately supported by progressive folk in any city.
Well, what would you advocate for people to do in order to address that void?
We have to, as I say, we have to produce the candidates ourselves. We can't just...
What does that mean?
We have to get people who will run. We have to build a political organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to and raise the funds, identify really good progressive candidates. We've begun to do that in some cities, Kwame Kenyatta and Joanne Watson in Detroit. You know, we've got a few people in St. Louis. Zaki Baruti runs for governor. We need to get Zaki Baruti to run for local office, you know, where he can win, and then get adequate support for that, and look for other people in the community who the community has confidence in, who we know, and get behind them and support them and build a political machine, build an organization that can actually finance and conduct a campaign. And rather than keep choosing the lesser of two evils or somebody, you know, and hope we get a halfway decent choice, produce those candidates ourselves the same way everybody else does.
Well, also, don't you think that one of the things that we as members of the community of African descent must do is to understand politics better to the extent of we're not married to any political party, we're dating. And we need to look to what an individual, all politics is local. We have to first understand that, because if every African person didn't vote for the presidency and decided to go down and vote for the school board and decided to go down and vote for their circuit attorney, if they decided to go down and vote for their state senators, we would be in much better shape. If we weren't so conditioned to think that the presidential vote is the most important vote that we can cast.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to reconfigure how we see politics and how we see our role in it. We ain't married to anybody.
Mm-hmm. See, one of the things that we like to say is how diverse we are. You know, we say we're not monolithic, and so We've been advised to be, some of us ought to be Democrats, some of us ought to be Republicans, and then some of us ought to be in the Green Party. I think that what we really need to do is to move as a solid block.
Exactly.
We need to say that all of us are going over here or over there. We need not say that nobody, if we say nobody takes us for granted, because before the issues are even laid out, before the campaign, before the election, you can't take us for granted, because we have already decided that some of us are going to be Democrats and some are going to be Republicans, so you can't take us for granted. Well, that's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be saying, you can't take us for granted, Democrat, Republican, Green Party, none of y'all can take us for granted, because when we do decide, all of us are going to go in the same direction. And then we capitalize on the power that we actually have.
And isn't it, it's not so much about the community being concerned about the respect of those who hate you, the respect of those who advocate and orchestrate against you. We need to be motivated and moving on the issues as it pertains to the future of our sons and our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that, because to me, psychologically, that is just a healthier place to be, that I'm moving on my issues. And I'm not worried about how you think about me or whether you think about me. I'm moving on my issues.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that's psychologically one of the things that we ought to take into consideration?
Absolutely.
When we do this?
Absolutely. It's what Lenny Gurnia, in her book, talked about people who are what she called authentically black.
Mm-hmm.
We need some people who are authentically black. They are grounded and committed and unashamed of their blackness. See, what is happening is that, again, the concerns of black people are being marginalized, and everything black is under attack. And there are many black people who are embarrassed by the fact that, once again, back to the old 1950s, we seem to be embarrassed by the fact that we are black. We have a need now to say that we are something more than black. When the station was leased out from under the black community in New York, one of the owners said that black people just can't talk to them. He said, we just can't talk to ourselves. You know, with this, and that sounds like, I mean, that sounds...
It was one of those clever statements that,
yeah,
if you're not a thinking person and you don't dissect the words that are being brought to you, it sounds reasonable.
That's right.
Well, that sounds reasonable,
yeah,
but it's not accurate,
not
because Republicans talk to Republicans.
Everybody
Democrats talk to Democrats. We should be talking to black folks.
Every ethnic group in the country is talking to themselves.
That's right.
None
That's
of them
right.
have given up on talking to themselves.
Right.
They
right.
have a strategy. They have a cohesiveness. And one of the reasons that other groups prosper is because of their philosophical cohesiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And also now, other groups are not under the same attack that we are.
They have room to grow.
However, given that we are under attack, there is such an aggression against our community, we more than anybody else have a need for that philosophical cohesiveness.
Absolutely.
We have a need to resolve the questions, the contradictions that exist within our own community. We need that cohesiveness. We need, and so it is important that we are exploring these ideas, that we are clarifying. You know, one of the things I'm talking about in St. Louis is, I began to touch on it the last time I was in St. Louis, is that we are making statements that sound reasonable, but they don't really make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
Absolutely.
Are, I said the last time I was there that I want black folk to consider that we are using the term African and African American. We're using the terms like Afrocentricity frivolously. We will say it anytime. But it doesn't really mean anything. The fact that if you have a black dress, if you're a black person and you own a dress shop in the black community, the fact that black people are talking about being African and committed to African culture and African ideas and African clothes and African hair, it means absolutely nothing to you and your business, because those same people don't feel that because they are African and you are African, they are committed to support you.
Well, if they don't feel that.
shouldn't it be the if they don't feel that? Because if you are, I mean, when I use the phrase, when I refer to myself as African, I am committed to everything that goes with that. And part of the reason for my commitment to that term and my description of myself in those terms is to make the connect between me and my community and to remind myself of the connect that I have with other people that look like me, that came from the same continent as me.
See, that's what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
See, but the reality is, just as Malcolm pointed out in the 60s, that we were using the term revolution too frivolously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's supposed to happen. Make the connections that you are making. But by and large, the black community is not making those connections, even though they are using the term freely, using the term, in fact, frivolously, because people are not making the connection that you just identified. And that's really what is going to be absolutely necessary.
Right. So it's not the abandonment of the term, it's the understanding of
right.
it when you use it.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely not abandonment of the term.
Okay, and we have to take another break here. We have lots of folks on the line that want to talk to you, and we still need to talk about your book.
Okay,
so let's do that after we do this. Liz Brown, I'm here with Bob Law, who will be joining us on Saturday at the St. Louis Game.
This is a best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We'll have more following this break.
This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Washington, D.C. Incoming Mexican President Felipe Calderon visited the White House yesterday. Calderon met with President Bush and future House Speaker Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. Both Pelosi and Bush say the conversation focused on the issue of immigration. Exit polls and analysts say Hispanic voters displayed their displeasure with the Republican immigration policy on Election Day by turning out in force and helping Democrats win in the U.S. congressional elections. Dateline Brazil. A woman who lost her son and husband in a September collision between a low-cost Brazilian airliner and a New York-based corporate jet has filed suit against the smaller plane's pilots and owner. It's the second lawsuit to be filed in the U.S. in connection with the September collision that killed 154 people. It's also the first to name the pilots as defendants. Both pilots are U.S. citizens. An additional 20 families of those killed in the crash are expected to be added to the case. This is your WGNU Global News Update.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Laurie Falkerson. Join me every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 920 WGNU. You'll enjoy hearing stories of people who are making the difference in the lives of others. Join me, Laurie Falkerson, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Now we take you back to more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Makes me argue just to see how much.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, Liberal, loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Welcome back, Bob.
All right.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was just saying hello.
Okay, and let's take some of the callers here. Car phone, you're on the air with Bob Law.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I have got to mark this day down on my calendar. What is it, March 30th, 2004. I want to say hello to Brother Bob Law, too. It's just this is one of your best shows I've ever heard, Liz. Your first guest, Randall Robinson, the brother that wrote Quitting America, I just want to say props to him too.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1990, when I got out of the Air Force, I guess that was around the time of my what I call my regenesis. as a black man in America.
The Genesis.
And the brother that you're speaking to right now as your guest happened to have played a major part in that. I used to tune into Night Talk, and I just want to say this call is mainly just to pay homage to this brother. Bob, I enjoyed your radio program and your insights. You taught me a lot. And to have you and Liz on the radio at the same time articulating or prioritizing on black issues is just, it's just phenomenal, man. I'm just enjoying the show. I just wanted to call in and say that. Nothing more. I'm just content to sit back and listen and learn more. Two of my radio mentors on the show dialoguing. I mean, this day couldn't get any better.
Bless your heart. Thank
you. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. From the east side.
Hey, from the east side.
Good morning.
Good morning to you and Mr. Bob Law. It is definitely a pleasure for the citizens of East St. Louis to hear both yourself, Liz, and Mr. Law speak, as well as Mr. Randall Robinson. I meant this is, like the brother said, a platinum status show, if you will. Now, I just wanted to know, when you be at the book fair, how much is your book? And to also comment on the fact that you are very right that there is a lot of tokenism in black leadership, but we as a people as a whole must come together and form our own government standing. So I'll sit back and listen to you all speak. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Bob, talk to us about your book, Voices for the Future. How much is it? And talk to us about some of the things that, that motivated you to put this out here.
Well, yes, the book, I believe the book is $14, 14 right. something, you know, less than 15.
All right, more, less than 15.
More than 14, less than 15.
Okay.
And the book operates from the premise that much of what we need to know, we already know. Mm. Much of the blueprint that we need has already been established. There have been teachers, prophets, poets, you know, among us for all of our lives, mm. who have been laying out the blueprint for how we move forward. And so and many of the people I was able to actually meet and to deal with as an activist and then as a talk show host, and then there were people before our time, however, who also left a great legacy, a philosophical, intellectual legacy that provides the blueprint for the future. And so much of what we need to do to move forward has already been identified. We just need to go back and appreciate what what Du Bois taught, appreciate what Elijah Muhammad taught, appreciate all of what, appreciate what Garvey taught. You know, there's a book called Tribes, I believe, by Joel Kotkin, who talks about how ethnic, race, culture, and religion determine success. And one of the things he says in the book is that, in his book, this is a white social scientist, he says that there have been some powerful lessons taught by black leaders like Garvey and Elijah Muhammad. He names a few people. And he says that what happens, though, is that other groups who have come to this country and heard what they have been saying embrace what they were saying, and began to use their own teachings to stabilize and empower their group. And he is saying that his own observation is that black folk have not fully embraced the information that's already there for us. And so the book says, let's go back and review a lot of what our elders and ancestors have already laid out. Let's look down, and then let's look at how it can apply to what we are dealing with right now. Excuse me, and we can begin to use a lot of the information that we already have to develop our own blueprint for the future.
And let's get to some of our other callers. Stephanie.
Hi. I just want to say good morning to Bob Law. I miss hearing his voice, his words at late at night. And Liz, he was doing the same thing to me those many years ago, keeping me up at night like you do, keeping me up in the morning, making me late for work. So I want to say thanks again to for you having Bob Law on. And thanks, Bob, for those words of wisdom for all those many years ago.
Thank you.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone. And we have a car phone here. Steve.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
And hello, Mr. Law.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, sir, it is a pleasure. You know, I get a morning serving of Miss Brown every morning before I go into work at 7. But this morning I decided to stay off because of Mr. Robinson and yourself. So there's a delight, and thank you, Miss Brown, for doing that. I'm the gentleman that called in being a boycott of one myself, and today is Tuesday and Thursday. I don't spend any money because of the fact of what he mentioned earlier about what Macy's and other major department stores are doing to us. They disrespect us. They take our money, and then they want to profile us. So I just want to pass on to you, the two of you guys. I love you, and I'm looking forward to the local elections as well as the national elections because we have a job to do, and those who pass before us laid the groundwork to make it that much more easier for us to do what we need to do. So
thank you.
I want to pass that on to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And, Bob, you talk about in your book about how we as a community, like you said, are able to articulate the issues, many of the issues, and sometimes in just profound ways, but we have to take the next step to connect the political component of that. We have to, okay, if you're angry about what the cops are doing in New York City, then elect Reverend Sharpton as mayor. You talk about a scene just like that in your book.
Yeah, we were having a meeting in Sharpton's office.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a meeting. We were all just in his office with Dick Gregory, a number of other people, Kevin Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. I forgot what the rally was for. I think it was with Joe Madison and Dick Gregory around the CIA cocaine issue that they were promoting, and Al and I hosted them in New York. And before we went out to the platform to address the crowd, we were just in Al's office, and we were talking about being angry about something that had just happened. And that's what Dick Gregory said. Dick Gregory said that what you need to do with that anger is to organize it into a political force. If you're really angry, be angry enough to elect him mayor of New York. I think Al was talking about running for mayor of New York. He said, if you're really angry, be angry enough to elect Al mayor of New York.
There you go.
If you've been listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU, Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back on Monday. Stay tuned for one more hour of the best of the wake-up call following the ABC News, local news, your traffic, and your weather right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Remember to say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Was he doing his job or was he abusing at the battle lines of being drawn in L.A. over a videotape that appears to show a police officer roughing up a suspect? The officer says the suspect, William Cardenas, is a gang member with a rap sheet who is resisting arrest. Doesn't matter, says Cardenas' attorney, Quacko Duran.
I think when you look at the false police report that's been written and you see the excessive, unnecessary use of force, it's a criminal charge. It's an assault.
Police Commissioner William Bratton wants to hear from everyone involved.
There's no denying that the video is disturbing, but as to whether the actions of the officer were appropriate in light of what he was experiencing, the totality of circumstances, that's what the investigation will hopefully determine.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa agrees with Bratton. They're a world apart in their views, with just a table separating them later on today. President Bush meeting with the Senate's top two Democrats, incoming Majority Leader Harry Reid and Dick Durbin.
President Bush is extending something of an olive branch on Iraq, welcoming democratic ideas.
I'm open to any idea or suggestion that will help us achieve our goals of defeating the terrorists and ensuring that Iraq's democratic government succeeds.
The senators due at the White House this morning also control appointments. So far, they still refuse to reconfirm UN Ambassador John Bolton. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
President could get an earful from the Iraq Study Group on Monday.
Most of Washington hoping former Secretary of State James Baker and former Representative Lee Hamilton and their Iraq Study Group can find a bipartisan solution. Basic options under consideration: a troop drawdown, but leaving forces in the region poised to swoop in. Or a beefing up of troop strength, a final push to crush the sectarian violence.
ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman in Washington. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow up 11 points, NASDAQ ahead 4. This is ABC News.
I'm cruising in my ride, 16 switches. You gotta get my floss on, watch it.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
This Veterans Day weekend, Lowe's has everything you need to get things done. Buy a dishwasher over $297 and let us install it and get a free $50 Lowe's gift card via mail-in rebate. Get 10% off all installed carpet plus a free pad. And put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and get special financing until January 2008 on any purchase over $299 November 9th through the 12th. See store for details. For all your late fall projects, come into Lowe's. Lowe's, let's build something together.
They may not be on the hot list this year, but you probably played with these toys.
You can have lots of fun with an easy bake.
23 million Americans have baked 140 million cakes, really tiny cakes, since the Easy Bake Oven was invented in 1963. The National Toy Hall of Fame in Rochester, New York, honors the Easy Bake Oven this weekend, along with Lionel Electric Trains.
Texas Special 2245, stand by.
Lionel crafted the first toy train in 1900. Lionel and Easy Bake join other classics.
Mr. Potato Head family.
Like Mr. Potato Head and the Frisbee. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Remember when Carrie Bradshaw got dumped by a post-it note on the TV show Sex and the City? Well, that's so yesterday. Just ask Kevin Federline that you found out wife Britney Spears filed for divorce by text message. If that's not enough, we could see this, all of us, online. KFED was filming a reality show when he got the message, and now it's all over YouTube. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a St. Louis woman was killed in a chain reaction accident. The Missouri Highway Patrol says 72-year-old Ethel Piccarelli was a passenger in a car that was rear-ended and pushed into another car around 12:15 yesterday afternoon on northbound I-270 near Manchester. Piccarelli died a short time later at a local hospital. None of the drivers were seriously hurt. A sports betting site will no longer operate in the United States after an agreement reached in federal court in St. Louis. A permanent injunction bans BetOnSports.com from taking bets from the U.S. where it's illegal. The United Kingdom-based site must also set up a toll-free telephone number for people in the U.S. to call for refunds. The case stems from an investigation in St. Louis where prosecutors say BetOnSports employees took bets from undercover federal agents. Several St. Louis lawmakers will hold leadership posts in the Missouri legislature. Democratic State Senator Maida Coleman is returning to her post as minority floor leader. The Democrats picked up two seats in the state Senate, but the Republicans retained control. State Representative John Bowman remains the chair of the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus, alongside State Representative Robin Wright Jones as caucus secretary and State Senator Rita Hurd Days as treasurer. Finally this hour, homeless animals in Chesterfield have a new place to go. The Humane Society of Missouri celebrated the opening of their new center in Chesterfield Valley yesterday morning. Humane Society of Missouri President Kathy Warnick says this new center is the only animal welfare organization in the Chesterfield area.
We believe the growing population in this area offers homeless animals many opportunities to find loving and caring homes. With this new space, we can accommodate up to 120 animals in need, and that's four times the number that we could serve at our Chesterfield Adopt and Shop location.
The new center is also doing something no other animal shelter in Missouri has done before. The Chesterfield Valley Center will be providing animals a cageless living habitat, as they'll be housed in areas surrounded by tempered glass instead of bars. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Discovery Channel's Man vs. Wild. There's a million things that can go wrong in the wild, and Bear Grylls is out to try every one of them so you don't have to. Man vs. Wild, a new kind of survival show, tonight at 8 on the Discovery Channel. Watch, learn, survive. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sugarland's new album, Enjoy the Ride. There are a number of ongoing construction projects throughout the St. Louis metropolitan area, St. Louis County, St. Charles County, and the Metro East. Use caution and slow down through those areas, especially with the onslaught of fog this morning. Westbound 70 at Bermuda, there's a report of an accident that's been cleared. Expect some delays. Northbound 55 in Virginia, that accident's been cleared. Northbound 55 at Butler Hill, there's an accident reported on the shoulder. Eastbound 70 between 170 and Hanley, look for an accident there as well. Other than that, you may see some final delays rolling into downtown this morning as your final rush hour approaches. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sugarland's new album, Enjoy the Ride. Know a fan of Sugarland? Their hot new CD, Enjoy the Ride, is packed with 11 new songs, including the smash single, Want To. And it's available now. Pick up your copy today and get one for a friend at Walmart. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Some afternoon storms may be severe. It may get cooler by the afternoon. The high will be in the mid-60s. For this evening, colder, breezy, rain likely in the evening, then scattered showers after midnight with a low in the upper or lower 30s. For tomorrow, Veterans Day, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries in the morning, much colder, then partly sunny later on in the morning and afternoon hours with a high in the mid-40s. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high in the 50s. Currently, we have 65 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 64. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is out ill today. She will be back on Monday, but we'll bring you more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920. WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
Everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And we've been talking a lot about the campaigns as we move towards Election Day in November. And we've been talking about the contents of the different campaigns that are being engaged in, Republican campaign, Democratic campaign. And the inescapable component of both of the campaigns is the issue of war. How is one side going to talk about it? How is another side going to talk about it? And I am struck by the campaign ad that was put out, the initial campaign ad that was put out after the selection of John Edwards as the vice president for the Democratic Party, the initial commercial on television that was put out by the Republican Party. And it is an interesting one. I want to read a little bit of this commercial so that you can understand how war is playing a role in the campaigns that are being run. The content, the script, if you will, of the television commercial that began airing immediately after the selection of Edwards as the vice president for the Democratic Party. It's a commercial running only on Fox and CNN. And it's a commercial that has John McCain speaking. And the words read as follows. Quote, "It's a big thing, this war. It's a fight between right and wrong, good and evil. And should our enemies acquire for their arsenal the chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons they seek, this war will become an even bigger thing. It will become a fight for our survival. America is under attack by depraved enemies who oppose our every interest and hate every value we hold dear. It is the great test of our generation, and George Bush has led with great moral clarity and firm resolve. He has not wavered. He has not flinched from the hard choices. He was determined and remains determined to make this world a better, safer, freer place. He deserves not only our support, but our admiration." Those are the words of John McCain, as the war issue is the component of the campaigns for the two men that want to be president of the United States. And as you analyze the words that are used in that particular commercial, you can hear the fury in it, and you can hear the desire, or even if it's not a desire, the comfort with war. And we need to talk about that. We need to talk about war for many reasons, but in particular because war is going to be the issue that decides who will be the president of the United States in November. So to help us have this conversation about war, I have with me Woody Powell, the Executive Director for Veterans for Peace, and Bud Draps, the member of Veterans for Peace. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I'd like to start with you, Bud, and I'd like to start with you in terms of what are Veterans for Peace?
Well, you're looking at me, and I'm Woody.
I'm sorry.
That's perfectly all right.
Woody. I'm sorry.
I'm Bud.
I'm Bud okay. Woody. Right. Talk to us about it. Talk to us about what is Veterans for Peace.
I believe that Woody could much better explain the whole story
okay.
of Veterans
all right,
for Peace.
All right. Either one
I'll
of you. Let's talk
right.
about that.
Okay. Well, we're men and women who have served in wars from World War II right on up through this present Iraq war. Mm-hmm. We have members now that are coming back from Iraq and joining our organization to talk about their experiences and some of the changes that they're undergoing in their views on war as mm-hmm. the result of their participation in war. War changes people, and the people in Veterans for Peace have been changed in a way that leads us to believe that war is not the answer to the world's problems as they've been put before us. And most of us entered war when we were very young and very poorly informed. We were pretty impressionable. I certainly was. I was 18 when the Korean War broke out, mm-hmm. and I think my story is pretty typical. I didn't know anything about the politics leading up to it. I just knew that I arrived there in a hostile country where neither the people of the North nor the South wanted me there, and made it abundantly clear, and made me very afraid, and made me very angry, and made me very violent and very reactive, and I came away from that thing pretty confused, and just went underground and pursued a life. Well, a lot of us stay there, but then many of
when
us...
When you say stay there, stay where?
Stay away mm-hmm. From involvement. But after you've had kids, and in my case, grandchildren, a lot of us become aware that perhaps this cycle doesn't have to continue, especially when we see it going on. You know, Vietnam followed my war. I became aware of incursions, military incursions in other parts of the world, South and Central America and so forth. And I began to realize that war had become kind of a built-in way of life in this country. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that for my children or grandchildren. I couldn't see a future in that, especially not with the weaponry we're using nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's so damn nihilistic. I mean, we have the capability of destroying the globe and everything on it. So now we work against war. We would like, I mean, our end game is to abolish war.
And do you see this particular war in Iraq differently than any other type of war in terms of getting people to understand why we should be about peace? Do you see this war any different?
I was in Iraq in 2001 mm-hmm. with Veterans for Peace, where we have rebuilt four sewer-polluted water plants. Mm-hmm. And I saw the results of what is happening to those poor people over there. And I'll speak a little more about that.
Oh, please, go ahead. Speak on that. What are you seeing with the people in Iraq?
Well, not only that, but with the people that are returning.
Okay.
I believe, and I'd like to speak about how we're getting our young people to go over there and fight. I believe that when you start an illegal, unjust war, that you've got to take extreme measures to justify it. And a young Marine speaks to that issue. He says that you cannot take young people off the street today in our democratic society, give them a machine gun, and make killers out of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he describes what goes on when we bring our young people into the boot camps.
What does he say?
He says that, and he explains, why are privates shown videos of the U.S. military massacres, thus causing us to scream with the joy of killer instinct mm-hmm. as brown bodies are obliterated?
Mm-hmm.
Why do the privates answer every command with kill, kill, instead of yes, sir?
Mm.
Why are we training them to sing out when they march, you know? Here are some of the things that they are told and what they chant. Throw some candy in the schoolyard. Watch the children gather round. Load a belt in your M60. Mow them little bastards down.
Jesus.
We're going to rape, kill, pillage, and burn. Going to rape, kill, pillage, and burn. And blood makes the grass grow. Kill, kill, kill. This is indoctrinating our young people. And this is what enables them to go over there and kill innocent people. What I saw over there in the hospitals, overflowing with little children dying from leukemia. And one thing that we don't hear about is the condition that our veterans are coming home in. I have an article here from American Free Press. We had 697,000 troops in Iraq in the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nearly 750,000 just to kick Saddam out of Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there are 400,000 of those veterans that are claiming Gulf War syndrome.
Jeez.
Of that 400,000, two-thirds of them, nearly 250,000, are having children born with some deformities. And over 200,000 of those troops are veterans are now getting some disability payments. These are statistics that are not being known.
How do these statistics play with statistics from other wars? Has this ever happened before? Have we ever had our veterans coming back with this degree of children with being born with deformities and this degree of illnesses? Have we ever seen these kind of numbers before?
One instance was in the Vietnam War with the large usage of Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many troops came back
mm-hmm.
with the effects of that. That wasn't very well acknowledged by the government.
Mm-hmm. And it took years for the government to even finally admit that they were responsible for that and to compensate the veterans for that.
Right. But in the first Gulf War, they were coming back, and now the government is calling their illnesses post-traumatic stress disorder. In other words, it's more or less in their head.
Mm-hmm.
However, researchers are now saying there are three reasons why so many of our troops are being affected by this. And I'll list three of them.
Okay.
One is that in this war and in the first Gulf War, we are using depleted uranium weaponry. Now, these are weapons that when they explode, the uranium is atomized, goes into the air, into the water, into the ground. So many of our troops were exposed to that.
Tons of it.
Tons of it. We dropped 320 tons in the first war.
Mm-hmm.
We started this present war with 1,500 tons, which we probably shot up.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is when the Gulf War ended in 91, we had our engineers blow up hundreds of weapons dumps, you know, where Iraq had their chemical biological weapons stored. We knew where they were. Saddam did not use 1 ounce of all of those weapons against our troops, either in the first Gulf War or in this war. Not 1 ounce.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have had anything to blow up.
That's right. Well, the government said that our troops were not affected in that fallout. But
our government said that when our troops went and dropped bombs on chemical weapons, they were not affected by that? Then what was our government worried about the use of chemical bombs and weapons for?
That's right. Well, it was a further excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally admitted that 330,000 of our troops had been in the fallout area.
Okay.
And there's one other reason.
Say that number again, please, Brett.
330,000 of our troops were in the fallout area.
Of the bombing of the chemical weapons that our government sent them to bomb.
Right, right. Because we had 697,000 troops over there, you see. And there's one other possibility. We were giving our troops anti-malarial drugs because malaria is a problem there. And what they were using is a drug called larium. Now, even the manufacturers of larium documented, and they say what the causes, what can be the side effects. Let me just read the side effects that...
And can you also tell us about how frequently were our soldiers ingesting larium?
In this year alone, 2004, they have injected 14,000 of the troops.
It's a shot.
It's a shot.
Okay, it's a shot for malaria.
I believe that's what it is, yeah. These are some of the side effects listed by the company that makes it. It says, the more common larium side effects include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, dizziness, vertigo, sleep disorders, ringing in the ears, headache, muscle cramps, abnormal dreams, emotional instability, insomnia, panic attacks, hallucinations, anxiety, depression, paranoid reactions, convulsions, visual impairment, numbness, rashes, and itching. Now, this is what the company says possible side effects.
Wait a minute, but I just have to resonate on that for a moment. We're sending young people into a place that they've never been before, a foreign land. We are telling them that they are going to be killed when they get here, but they've got to make sure that they kill first. And we are giving them a drug that causes paranoia in them, that causes hallucinations in them, that causes sleeplessness in them.
Suicides? Yes.
That's what our government is giving our soldiers?
They gave them 14,000 shots this year alone. Yeah. Liz, as to what I saw over there, would you kindly describe what I'm giving you now?
You're handing me photographs of infants. The babies, it's like babies being born, if people can imagine what the Elephant Man looked like, only if you reduce that down to the size of an infant and you make that worse because it's not the Elephant Man, while his head was hugely elongated and extended, these babies, it appears that, or this one photograph appears that this baby has two heads. The ear of this one infant, his body looks fairly normal, but the ear of the infant is shaped in a Z. That's the deformity of the child, and it appears that there may be some deformity to the lower part of the body. These photographs are really kind of too gruesome to even be able to explain. If you would imagine the face of the cartoon character from Saturday Night Live, Mr. Bill, where they just had circles drawn in the eye and a big circle for the mouth. And if you were to impose those specific characteristics on the face of an infant, that's the deformity that this child has. A circle for the mouth and two huge bloody circles for the eye, and the nose appears to have been absorbed into the face, and it's just kind of a little lump of a one-holed formation. This severely deformed child the baby's head is adhered to the body. Now, this is an infant's body, and the head appears to be adhered to the body at a 90-degree angle. And while that is horrifying to see, the torso of the child, imagine, if you will, the shape of a melon. And imagine a melon split in half that you can see the insides of it. That's what the body of this infant looks like. All of his intestines are pushed to the top of the belly of the baby, and it is a grotesque formation of a huge circle, and that's what that child looks like. Another child is being shown who has managed to grow to some level of maturation, at about a 2 or 3 year old, a baby with no legs, sitting in a wheelchair, little toe-headed little boy, eyes and nose and mouth look normal, but where a arm and a hand should be attached is a shoulder with a hand coming out of the shoulder.
That's an American boy.
This is an American boy. These babies that I first described were the Iraqi babies.
Countless children being born over there.
These are the Iraqi babies were the first babies that I described to you. And the baby that I just described to you is an American boy. It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And we have to take a break, folks. I'm here talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, Bud Drapps, member of Veterans for Peace. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back.
You're listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. We will return following these messages with more of the best of the wake-up call.
Holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Liz Brown is out ill today, so we're bringing you the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Don't live. She loved. I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
We're coming here. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, and Bud Duraps, a member of Veterans for Peace. And Bud, let's finish this conversation about some of the things that our veterans or our soldiers are going through while they're in Iraq. Talk to us about the suicide component.
Well, suicides are the result of one particular drug that we've been giving them, mm-hmm. The Larium, you know. Another thing, though, our troops over there are being really stressed out. They are putting in extreme hours on duty. And consequently, they are given stimulants to enable them to exceed their normal hours. Troops come back from an action, and when they are told what they have done, they can't believe it. In other words, they have done vicious things that they didn't even realize what they were doing. Wow. Now, as far as the returning troops and the troops even over there, there were 61 Army suicides this year alone, with 68 Army suicides last year, 49 in 2001, 63 in 2000. They say the Army's worst period in the past 13 years was in 1991, the year the Persian Gulf War, when it reported 102 suicides.
What about homicides?
Well, there is a case where troops returning to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, four of them killed their wives, three of them committed suicide. In 2001, Deputy Defense Secretary Wolfowitz, who we hear in the news sometime today, said that in 2000, over 10,500 military physical or sexual assaults of a spouse occurred. And these side effects, they say, can occur years after this medication has been taken.
Now, we've been talking about the horrible cost of the war in the Gulf War and also the war in Iraq, the babies that you saw, and that we will be having to deal with this for years and years to come. So Woody, talk to us about that, because some people would make the argument that, well, you know, this is war, and these are the things that happen in war. Does that argument apply in this particular occupation?
Short answer is that I don't think so. I don't think that these wars need to happen. Jimmy Massey, 12-year veteran of the Marines, came back from Iraq. I spoke to him on the phone shortly after he returned to Waynesville, North Carolina. And he started to tell me his story of his service in Iraq. He said for 3 months they sat on the Kuwaiti border, and they all took training on how to cap off oil wells. So he said right off at the get-go, they knew they weren't there to liberate the Iraqis.
They took training of how to cap off
oil wells.
Oil wells.
Right. And being good Marines,
They were not asked to, okay, this is where we're going to be looking for weapons of mass destruction today. This is where we're going to be looking for weapons of mass destruction tomorrow.
Mm.
No, it was capping off oil wells.
Exactly. And so they just sort of, you know, sucked it up and did what they were supposed to do. And then the invasion was on. And then they found themselves in this totally impossible condition. And I remember this well from Korea, where you couldn't tell friend from enemy. And they found themselves killing civilians. And
what does that do to a man? What does that do to a man? Or a woman now?
Well, you know, I could give an answer, but you're going to have to use imagination and just think about what it might do to you if you were to walk down the street and see somebody that had a hot dog in their hand, you mistook it for a gun, you shot them, and it turned out to be a kid eating a hot dog. All right, now what is that going to feel like to you? All right, you'll get close to it, perhaps. Depends on how strong your imagination is. But this is where people need to use their imaginations and put themselves in other people's shoes. Not just listen to the patriotic, jingoistic stuff about how glorious war is or how necessary it is and so forth, but put yourselves in somebody else's shoes. Put yourselves in Jimmy Massey's shoes.
Now, you both are members of Veterans for Peace. Some people may consider that a contradiction in terms. How are you embraced, or how are you looked at and viewed by veterans?
Different ways. Some veterans feel that we are betraying some kind of trust. I don't know. Maybe that's not the word. I've been called a traitor because I've been against a war. And this one in particular. But I was against the Gulf War, and some people thought, well, that was justified. Well, I don't think so either. I don't think any war is justified at this point in my development, and I'm 72 years old.
Do you find a difference between age groups? Do you find younger men in a position where you were maybe on the Vietnam War? Do you find that it's the older that you get, the more that you appreciate and are able to look back with a little bit more wisdom than you had when you were younger?
It's nice of you to call it wisdom. But I do know some things that I didn't know then. And I feel some things differently. I'm not so quick to anger. I'm much more inclined to investigate a situation and try to see where the where justice really does lie. And most of the veterans that I talk to are accepting of my position. Okay. But some of them can't accept it for themselves. They still think that there's such a thing as a just war. And I won't argue against that. That's where they are, okay? And people need to be where they are in order to get where they're going. Does that make some sense?
That makes absolute sense, and we have to take a quick break here. I'm talking to Woody Powell, Executive Director of Veterans for Peace, and Bud Draps, a member of Veterans for Peace. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. My number here is 454-0400. And when we come back, Woody, I'd like to talk about a component of the 9/11 that I thought was very compelling, the recruiting component. I'd like to talk about that when we get back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
You've been listening to the Best of the Wake Up Call. Stick around for more of the Best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown will be back Monday morning at 6 a.m. We'll have more weather and your local news as well as the ABC News at the top of the hour. But more with Liz and the Best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
This is Pastor Divine Crusoe. Please join me on Monday evenings from 8 o'clock to 8:30 with Unfolding Destiny Broadcast. This broadcast is designed for those who are sick and shut in, those who are broken and need to be mended, those who are out of their place and cannot find their way, and those who know that their destiny is predicated upon their faith and that it is divine in ministry. So please tune in every Monday evening at 8 o'clock with Pastor Divine Crusoe and Unfolding Destiny Broadcast.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
We take you back to more of the Best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Committing suicide, was it your pride? Made you want to die, leave your mama, wonder why, and your baby get to cry.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Woody Powell, Executive Director for Veterans for Peace, and Bud Draps, a member of Veterans for Peace. And, Bud, you were telling me off the air, because I had asked Woody the question of how his contemporaries view your organization, Veterans for Peace. You are a veteran of World War II. How do your contemporaries view you and view wars?
I would say that nearly every one of them is, they are still waving the flag, have the attitude that this is a just war. They support what is going on, and they...
My country right or wrong.
My country right or wrong. And they cannot understand why I am so pro-peace.
And I want to talk about this because you talk about my country right or wrong, and there is such a thing as a just war. Let's talk about one of the issues that was brought out on Fahrenheit 9/11, the efforts to recruit. Woody, you gave me an article by an ex-recruiter, Marine recruiter, Chris White, and he talks about the problems of that go on. And with the military recruiting, he talks about that there are incentives to deceive. Recruiters have every incentive to be dishonest. Once in the Marine Corps, recruiters have monthly quotas. Once they're filled, they can slack off for the rest of the month. The more people are signed up, the better their chances for promotion. The incentive for dishonesty is high. They fail to tell you, this is the college benefit components, they fail to tell you that you must pay $1,200 in your first year of military in order to get the GI Bill, which is quite a bit of money. When your salary is only $700 a month, you'll be lucky to get your monthly GI Bill check in your first 3 months of college since the bureaucracy is so inept. You better have enough money saved up before you arrive. About duty station assignments, recruiters tell potential reservists that they can go to college and serve 1 week in a month with very little chance of being called back to active duty. However, the current administration wants to call up 300,000 reservists to the Gulf alone. Job placements, many of us were manipulated into joining the infantry after initially asking to be military police. However, this job is usually filled because there is so much demand for it. Many recruiters will tell potential recruits that they will be military police. They persuade them to join the infantry at the last minute. There's quite a bit of deception that goes on in the recruiting process, and if this is a just thing, and then why do people have to lie to get people to join up?
Because people don't join up to go out there and kill. That's the long and the short of it. People join for a lot of personal reasons, many of them built around the need to, the desire to improve themselves, to improve themselves economically and educationally, and those are the buttons that are pushed by the recruiters.
I love this one line about the promise of the GI Bill that they will receive money for college. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, that's very, very few of them ever pick that up because there's a $1,200 bill up front.
Mm-hmm, that you have to pay out of your salary that you make $700 a month. Yeah, you've got to pay that first before you get any benefits.
That's right. You said, I have a note here that the promise of the GI Bill directly contradicts the reality. Most veterans do not receive any money for college. The Army claims that the GI Bill offers up to $50,000 for college. In reality, 57% receive none of this money, while 23% receive only half of the offered amount. One must also be honorably discharged, which 25% of veterans are not.
So, and that's the big take, particularly when you go into poor, economically disadvantaged, or economically stressed communities. And that was one of the points made in Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah.
Where do they go to recruit?
Oh, yeah.
Do they go over to, I don't know, to Ladue?
No.
To over to the malls over there, or do they come to Northwest Plaza?
You know where they go. They go to Northwest Plaza, of course. I've got a recent email from one of our chapter leaders out in Oregon, Deb Heading. She served in the Air Force. She said, for the last 4 years of her career before retirement, I was the full-time GS-12 Chief of Public Affairs, Air Mobility Wing, Travis Air Force Base. I was co-located with the recruiting section there, providing marketing support for their efforts and supervising the Chief of Recruiting, a master sergeant with an MBA who directed 15 recruiters. She said it was an eye-opening experience. All of the recruiters were enlisted with graduate degrees. So you ask, why wouldn't they pursue commissions, become officers, okay? Silly. They can make more money than commissioned officers as commissioned sales staff, as long as they meet and exceed quotas. So it's a very plush assignment. It's a way to make a lot of money.
And quite frankly, you never have to see the faces of any of the people that you duped into getting into the military.
That's right.
You never have to see them again.
That's right. You just tell them, this is your patriotic duty. Come on aboard.
You can make money. You can be a famous singer, famous rap singer, like you can in Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's right.
You know, let me take a call here. Mr. D, good morning. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you have a question for our guest.
Yeah, but listen, like the gentleman was talking, I'm a leftover from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wanting to ask him, what is wars all about? What do they start wars for?
What do they start wars for?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. D.
And I want to get his answer, and I want to give him mine.
Okay. Well, we only have 2 minutes here, so give us yours first, and then we'll end with theirs.
They do that to control the population. They say a boy 18 years to 21, he's nothing but a walking sperm bank. And if we can destroy that, we can control the population.
Thanks for your observation. Thank you so much.
It's no different than what Hitler did and Roosevelt did with a nickel and two nickels and a dime.
What is war for?
Well, a number of things, and one of them, as he pointed out, is genocidal.
Mm-hmm.
To get rid of large populations of people that interfere with somebody's plan for their aggrandizement of some sort, you know, their view of the world. Different people have different views of the world, and if it's an especially selfish, self-serving view, it can result in war. And I think that's what's happening to us right now with this plan for a new American century that's being manifested right now by this present administration, which, according to their own words, puts America in charge of the rest of the doggone world, because we're the remaining superpower. We can do it, and very possibly the people think because we can, we ought to.
And but I want the final word to be yours. What should people do? What should people do? Because your organization, Veterans for Peace, is opposed to war. What would you like to see people do?
Well, they cannot act until they are educated as to what is really going on. Under the auspices of the American Friends Service Committee, we're starting a new organization called Alternatives to Military Service. And we want to educate the draft age people actually what is going on. And there are bills sitting in Congress for the last year that will and can reinstate the draft.
So it's coming.
We suspect that it could very well come after the election.
Is there a website that people can get to get some more information about your organization and the some of the things that the recruiters do when they go out and try to draft your children?
Yes, you go to veteransforpeace.org. That's all one word, veteransforpeace.org.
And I want to thank both of you, Woody Powell and Bud Drapps. Veterans for Peace, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. We're going to take a break, folks. It's the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Stay with us.
You've been listening to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Stick around. Gary Wiegert and Bad Boys is up next, following ABC News and local news.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.